Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Well, Christmas 2014 came and went like the year itself. As we enter the final moments of 2015, as time travels faster and faster, it seems. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. We're live broadcasting worldwide on this Friday, the 26th day of December, 2014. I'm your host, Alex Jones. And we have Doug Hagman of the Northeast Intelligence Report joining us to cover a host of developing news stories. But I do want to really go over a ton of news today. Obviously, there's a stack of very informative, to understand what's happening in the group mind out there, a big stack of important news dealing with Christmas. And we have things like snow-capped summits give Hawaii a white Christmas. A rare snowfall giving the mountains, the volcanic mountains, white caps like the Mont Blanc of Europe. Google goes off the climate change deep end, saying there is no question and we should submit to whatever government says. I'm going to be breaking that report down because last night I went to a movie, went and saw Foxcatcher, excellent film based on the true story of John DuPont going crazy. And when I'm walking out, there are Google representatives there pushing free Google if you just pay to put it in one time. And if you live downtown near their headquarters, it's just free, period. Do you really think they're trying to give you something free? All of the smart televisions now that have come out have microphones and cameras in them, and on record in their terms of service say, one of the latest, of course, is the folks out of South Korea, Samsung. They say in their terms of service, we are listening and watching you, so watch what you say. And we do send what you say to third parties. And we broke that news 4 or 5 months ago, and no one picked it up but I think DrudgeReport.com. Doesn't mean who cares. You know, we're linking directly to the terms of service. It's admitted. It's bombshell. It's sensational. It's cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs level. And it just is. Oh, Xbox and other systems were hacked, and so there's no online gaming right now. That's down. Oh, no. That's actually got people concerned. All of this ahead of them reintroducing the Cybersecurity Act, SOPA and CISPA, internationally and nationally, two versions of each. Gaming hack attack, Xbox Live, PlayStation Network remain down. Apparent denial of service attack. Or is it another false flag, like they're basically now admitting with the interview that gets a 50% rating at Rotten Tomatoes, and similar to that on IMDb and other places? I might have watched it, even though I'm not a huge fan about those actors. I've seen some of the movies that are okay. I like comedies, especially around Christmas time, but I will not be watching it commercially. I'm not normally someone that goes online and tries to find things for free, but morally, I just have problems paying for the stunt. Kind of enters the Obamacare realm, where it's all about chumping the public. Where Sony, now working with Obama, it's very evident, the FBI's initial report said this as well, that it was an inside job, and now all the big tech firms are coming out and saying that. We're getting a mishmash together of some of the clips here today of the interview. We'll be playing some of those in the third hour. Not just video for TV viewers, but just some audio as well. So that's coming up. Boy, there is so much to get to. China tests a Ebola vaccine on humans. NSA reports it may have broken laws. That's like saying fish may swim in the sea. Spoiled brats complain about Christmas gifts. Stupid parents. IRS continuing to persecute conservatives. It's all coming up. Stay with us.
aligns himself with the truth. And it's time for you to choose a side. You're listening to Alex Jones.
I see your hair is burning.
Hills are filled with fire.
Hills are filled with fire. If they say I never loved
you. Not in Orange County, California. They're fining people for having too many Christmas tree lights on their houses. Wow, there is so much news to get to today, and I think just what I'll do here so that you get an idea of what we're going to be covering is just read the headlines. Obama creates the truth of his agenda. Why does Obama come up with such quick judgments on news events and make them public? LouRockwell.com asked that question. We're going to be breaking it down. Doctors told to report patients who put on weight. I'm not going to the most important news first. I'm just going over the headlines. U.S. military equipment being detoured for possible battle with ISIS. That's out of Fox News. Snow-capped summits give Hawaii a white Christmas. Passenger tossed after flipping out over staff's Merry Christmas. Political correct control freaks. What I just mentioned, Orange County threatens big fines for excessive Christmas decorations. Violent Christmas Eve in the district as 5 people killed in 6 different shootings. Well, that's what you get when you have victim disarmament and only the criminals have the guns. 3-week-old puppies pilfered on Christmas morning after family pistol whipped. What nice folks criminals are. But at least these criminals do it face-to-face, not like the Federal Reserve does with a fraudulent name and inflation. Walmart customers unruly after store closes. Police called. Christmas Eve shooting kills one in Louisiana mall. Woman run over by minivan after Christmas Eve mass. Xbox up, but PlayStation still down after hack attacks. Female veterans battling PTSD from sexual trauma fight for redress. Sandy police deliver presents to family burglarized on Christmas Eve. I've got comments on all these stories. Like people in the comment sections of Infowars.com, and I mean, not all of them, but some of them, and on the site itself that has that article going, don't try it, pigs. Don't try to do anything nice. We know you're all bad. That's exactly what the globalists want, is that if the police try to have community outreach programs and try to be involved in real local community policing and constitutional, then the public's so mad at them already, they just say, no, you just stay over there and be the bad guy. We want to have an us-against-them mentality. That's exactly what the social engineers want. And I'm just tired of being played like a fiddle. I don't know about you. We're taking a stand for freedom, New Yorkers explain, why they are waiting in line to see the interview. Well, if North Korea was really trying to censor it, yes, you should go see it. But it was a Sony stunt, and that's basically been admitted now. And so if you go see it, you're being played as a chump. Now, when the communist Chinese wanted, and were successful for a year, to block the release of Red Dawn, the remake, and had it changed to North Korea, that was a film I promoted and went and saw, even though it was not a very good film, because it is about stopping censorship. But this is Obama and others and Sony manipulating people's conscience. Critics hate the interview, though. Movie critics say the controversy surrounding the interview is much more interesting than the movie itself. The movie is scoring just 50% positive reviews from critics on Rotten Tomatoes' website. It's fairly even more poorly with top sites who gave it a measly 32% positive rating. Yeah, it's hard to get one that low. It's down to 48% now as we speak. Again, I'm just moving right to left right now across the desk here. I have not even gotten into the hardcore news yet. Russia revises military doctrine, lists NATO buildup as a major threat. Russia considers NATO number one threat and is preparing for war. That dovetails with this article I already mentioned, U.S. military equipment being detoured for possible battle versus ISIS. Japan game over. Savings rate turns negative. Japanese economy begins to implode, and that will take the rest of the world with it. So you take down Russia, and you try to block their oil and gas sales, and you destabilize Russia, and you plunge the ruble. That will then start a chain reaction into Europe more than anywhere else, because they get about 60% of their overall energy from Russia at low prices. And then you add to that all the other destabilization going on around the world. This could trigger the big economic collapse, at least a new level of it. That's why they just passed, 2 weeks ago, the new banker bailout legislation ahead of time, and the new derivative legislation where you and I guarantee global derivatives by hundreds of shyster organizations. But I get emails, and again, it's a minority of people going, you traitor, you ought to want to bring down Russia. And you ought to want war. And it's just ridiculous. Our country is occupied by the globalists. The LA Times is now reporting that Congress's backroom pension-cutting deal is even worse than expected. Yeah, this has all been rammed through the last spending bill that the Republicans went along with. They're not blocking Obama on executive amnesty. They're not blocking Obama on executive gun grabbing. They're not blocking Obama on shutting down more power plants. And the average yuppie will say, I don't own a coal plant. I don't own stock in one of those companies. No, you just get, well, you used to get half your power from them. Now you get 30-something percent. You notice your power bill's a lot higher. Okay, chumps. But you go, well, it's for the earth. I'm glad that Texas was supplying four states surrounding it. From Colorado, Oklahoma, Louisiana, New Mexico. Now Texas can't supply her own power after 6 years of Obama. But don't worry, more than 19, last time I checked, new giant coal power dirty plants opened right on the Texas border in Mexico. They shoot pure black smoke, mercury out the top, no scrubbers on them. They're much smaller, just a smokestack and the big coal burners that turn the turbines that get generated from the boiled water. And they just belch it right out, and it blows right in and blows on the Mexicans, and our totally clean plants are getting shut down and not allowed to open. Just thought I'd remind you. Because, you know, here's Google. I'm doing pretty good getting into the stack, but Google goes off the climate change deep end. Eric Schmidt, the head of Google, in a NPR interview, went on to say that it is that no one is debating it. It's the same Al Gore quote, 100% all scientists agree, and we should just accept everything. Town Hall has a transcript. Remember, this guy owns wide body full jets. He flies around, last time I checked, in his own personal 777. One of the other big Google dons I was reading is buying one of those new giant Airbuses. You know, the ones that can hold like 300 people. Big, huge bedrooms in them, party suites, everything. There's only a few folks flying on them when they fly. And that's great. If you didn't get your money from inside deals, and if you didn't want to tell Africans they can't have a car or can't have air conditioning, and you're telling us we can't have anything, just like Al Gore says when he makes money off the carbon taxes, Google is heavily invested in the different carbon trading schemes. And it's a pure cold-blooded scam to selectively tax energy for every major company and corporation and individual but General Electric, Google, and others who pay zero taxes. And if you go back to 5 years ago, Obama signed an executive order exempting General Electric from the carbon orders he put out that shut down the power plants. Look it up. In fact, guys, just type it into the NSA, the public arm of it, Google. Just type in, General Electric gets power plant waiver from Obama. And I have this pet peeve. I mean, I talk about power plants at least once a week because it's such a perfect example of how my grandfather never talked about it. After he died, we dug through his letters and manuals and commendations and his Army Air Corps manual. They had like a class manual graduating. And in there were some of the letters of things they did, like bombing German power plants. Well, see, that's what an enemy does. They blow up your power plants. Well, the globalists just turn the power plants off, but leave their power plants on, and then rake you over the coals. It's such a sick joke. 180-plus countries, only about 15 of them are trying to put the carbon taxes in. Australia, some European countries, the UK, the US. Pachauri, who was the head of the UN climate body, turned out he lobbied to get a bunch of steel plants shut down and coal plants in England, and turned out he owns them in India and actually had those very plants, engineers and ownership in the same companies, move to India. That's all it is your company shut down, mine's allowed to operate. That's all it is. Cold-blooded gangster thugism, 110%, laughing at you and your family, while Schmidt flies around on a 777 loaded with the beauty queens of the world. And hey, I'm a libertarian, buddy. You do what you want. But don't you sit around. Don't you sit around while you build this artificially intelligent takeover system in your own words. Look it up. And tell people they don't deserve to have turkey on Christmas. I am sick of you pigs. The real pigs of the New World Order, ladies and gentlemen, not the police they want us to get in a shooting war with. The real pigs of the Federal Reserve, they're the real problem. They're the foreign banks squatting on this country. We got some special reports on the Federal Reserve coming up. Some from Christmas present, some from Christmas past.
Crashing through the lies and disinformation. It's Alex Jones, only on the GCN Radio Network.
Coming up in the next segment, the InfoWars Nightly News Director, Rob Dude, did a little piece, a Christmas New Year's message from the private run-for-profit Federal Reserve we're going to be airing. And we premiered this last year. It's a wonderful lie. And no matter where we put it on the internet, it got pulled and censored because it's based on It's a Wonderful Life. Totally covered by fair use. Totally covered by commentary. 110%, but they're really scared of this video / audio. So if you're a radio listener, you want to go to Infowars.com/show so you can see us stream this live. You'll also be able to hear it, obviously, as a radio listener. It's radio theater. But you'll have to just save this for yourself because they don't let you post it on YouTube or anywhere else. They pull it down within minutes. And the Federal Reserve has propagandists in every major city on record trying to fight the public, discovering that this is a foreign occupational government, corporate government in control that's used our country to take control of the planet. So that is coming up. And who works for them? Well, back in 1913, on December 23rd, now 101 years ago and 3 days. Remember last year? Last December 23rd, 2013, marked the 100th anniversary of the private Federal Reserve. Well, we are now into the 101st year, now being over. We're now 101 years into this monstrosity. And that same day, they claimed that all whatever amount of states it was at the time, there's books on it, The Law That Never Was, and others who have constitutional lawyers on it. There weren't 50 states at the time. They claimed that a majority had ratified it, and simple research of the state records show that almost all the states did not ratify it or never even voted on it. But they got up and announced that it was now the law. The income tax. Almost every time that Ron Paul, when he was a congressman, would be on CNN or Fox News, they would say, you want to get rid of the IRS? How will we run the country? And he would usually be in the Capitol or with the Capitol in the background. I saw him do this at least 10 times over the years. And he would say, this Capitol got built before we had an income tax. This country had a 10% growth rate on average before 1913. The income tax wasn't implemented widespread until the 40s as a war tax. then it was like half your income if you were middle class. Something like 30% for the poor. So Kennedy talked to economists, because they kept it from the World War II on, and he repealed the wartime tax, made him very popular. And so when you hear he cut taxes by 50%, that's because some tax brackets were above 50%. And he cut it down to almost nothing. That sounds so radical today that a Democrat would do something like that. It's because the Democratic Party today does not resemble the Democratic Party in any shape or form of 1961. Government knows that when you massively cut taxes, you increase tax revenues. And you know why that is? A lot of states have like a week where they won't have sales tax, so they'll cut it in half. And then revenues sometimes will double or triple. It's because people then shop more when they have more discretionary income. That stirs confidence and more spending, more productivity. But the globalists want a post-industrial world where Google executives have, you know, 10, 15 houses apiece, 4 or 5 wives, 10, 15, 20, 30 mistresses on record. And when I say on record, you can look up news articles where some of these Google guys I'm on today have like 30 girlfriends that get on the airplane with them. Oh, there's Schmidt getting on the airplane with like 30 women, and he and others have them wear bags over their heads like Michael Jackson, veils, so people can't see what porn star they're loading on. He wants privacy, but you don't get it. But what I'm getting at here is we are now 101 years under the private, mainly European bank-owned Federal Reserve. It's not federal. That's just a fact. Think of the fraud of that. And 101 years of the IRS, where General Electric, Google, basically all of them are tax exempt. They wrote the laws, Warren Buffett, but they're coming for you. They're increasing audits of blue collar workers. Just search engine that. They take them off the rich people and they put them on you or the middle class. And now the IRS is still penalizing Christine O'Donnell a second time, placed levy on bank accounts. The IRS says it's a mistake. They are intensifying their persecution. This is a group of totalitarian criminal thugs who'd love to have a Bolshevik-style revolution in this country and line conservatives, libertarians up and shoot us. I'm telling you, they are bloodthirsty scum.
We're on the march. The empire's on the run. Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
Waging war.
Waging war on corruption. It's Alex Jones.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're broadcasting worldwide, and I really wasn't going to plug anything here, even though we fund our operation with high-quality nutraceuticals at InfoWarsLife.com. But it's been about a month since I did an Oxy powder cleanse, and I decided this morning that I'm going to do a week-long cleanse of at least 6-7 pills a day. They recommend 5, but I get better results with 6 or 7. It's time-release oxygen powder. Why wait to the new year? I was planning to do this in the new year. Why not start now? Oxy powder. So I take 2 or 3 pills in the morning, 2 or 3 at night, and I am golden. After about 2-3 days, the results start. Your upper and lower intestine will be completely flushed out, and upwards of 75% of your immune system is in your gut. The different GMOs, the different chemicals that are in the food and water basically kill the good flora in your gut. This is beyond probiotics. It is ozonated, time-released oxygen that releases in the upper and lower intestine, not in your stomach. And you will have, I mean, I can say everyone that's taken, you can't say guaranteed, but you've heard the callers call in. You've heard Rob Dew in 1 week lost 12 pounds, and he's in good shape. The average person has 20 pounds of detritus that has built up. And then you get the BT corn that's in almost everything as a filler that has its own pesticide in it that kills the flora. It is time to flush your gut in the new year. And this is the most dramatic product we have of all of them. You see the quickest results of all our products at InfoWarsLife.com with the Oxy powder. And you can do about 3 cleanses with 1 bottle. It is so dramatic that I think it's the biggest weight loss secret out there from my experience, because it doesn't go to making you lose the general fat that's on you, even though when you have a healthier gut, you absorb food better, nutrients better, and I think it helps you lose weight. This just physically gets the rotting garbage. I mean, you wouldn't eat turkey that had been left out for 3 days on the counter, would you? How about piece of turkey that's been in your gut for 5 years? You think that's good for you? You wonder why intestinal and colon cancer and stomach cancer are off the charts? And this is such a phenomenal product. I've only done the cleanse twice. I lost more than 10 pounds when I did it, and I couldn't handle it. I stopped it for 4 days. I'm doing 7 days right now, starting right now. And I can't handle it. There's nothing painful, but you got to stay close to a toilet within about 100 yards. Like Rob New said, after about 4 days, he goes, man, I don't know if I can do this. Well, I don't want to have my guts rot, so I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it every 3 months. Oxy Powder, InfoWars, Life.com, or 888-253-3139. And in the new year, ladies and gentlemen, it's time to start taking the X2 super nascent, crystal-based, deep earth-sourced, proprietary iodine. It's time to start taking the super male, super female vitality. It's time to start taking the other InfoWars Life products, the OccuPower, the DNA Force, life-changing. 888-253-3139. That's 888-253-3139. Or InfoWarsLife.com, InfoWarsStore.com. That's our line of products. There's also the excellent longevity products, discounted with free shipping when you sign up for AutoShip at InfoWarsHealth.com or InfoWarsTeam.com if you want to become a distributor. And the phone numbers there to talk to the InfoWars team or the InfoWars Health crew are on both of those websites as well. InfoWarsHealth.com, or you can go to InfoWarsTeam.com for the fine longevity products discounted. And all of your purchases help support the broadcast and the overall transmission. You can also find a great book there on the site about epigenetics. Now, before we go any further, let's just get right to this piece by Rob Due on the Federal Reserve. Then we are going to get into Jeb Bush for president, Hillary for president, that battle shaping up. China set to test Ebola vaccine. NSA reports it may have broken laws with decades of spying on U.S. citizens. Hagman and Hagman, but the father and son, private investigator team, great journalist, a lot of breaking intel are coming on. Got a bunch of Christmas news we're going to get to. And then at the bottom of the third hour, we're going to air some clips of the just released false flag interview that they're using to try to pass internet censoring legislation next month, along with the Sony hack. We now have the Xbox hack as well. We're going to be talking about that with John Bound in studio. We're going to play some clips from the interview and analyze this true super turkey that's been turned into a giant profit center via the triangulated scam of the NSA, Obama, and, of course, Sony and the Japanese mafia. But let's go ahead and go to the special message for 2014 Christmas message from the Federal Reserve that we put on the website yesterday that we're airing here.
Hello, I'm Mr. Moneybags, and I have a message for all of you out there this Christmas season. As you sit down with your family and friends, you need to be thankful of the unseen hand that has guided your monetary system for the last 101 years now. That's right, thanks to some members of an unknown group who decided they should take it upon themselves to control the monetary supply for the betterment of the collective as a whole. When ultra-mega-rich people like myself want to help little people like you, we have to make sure our assets have cover. We like to have our losses shared by the public, but keep our profits private and to ourselves. So my unknown group, which included the heads of J.P. Morgan, Rockefeller, National City Bank of New York, First National Bank of New York, and the founder of the Council on Foreign Relations, met on an island on the coast of Georgia for a, quote, hunting trip. We would divide the country, banking system, into 15 districts with one main office in Washington, D.C. We didn't want the government meddling in our affairs, so we had a ceremonial pitchman position created, and that person would be the focal point for all criticism and damnation when the people discovered that printing money out of thin air would cause inflation. This person was known as the chairman, and our little banking organization we called the Federal Reserve, which is about as federal as Federal Express. Oh, I love that one. We ran this little plan through Congress and the Senate in just 2 days in late December, and we had our little agent, Woodrow Wilson, sign it just 2 days before Christmas. Ah, the most wonderful time of year. Anyway, flash forward 101 years, and we have fully recovered from the recessions of 2008, 2000, early 90s, early 80s, mid-70s, late 60s, early 60s, the recessions of 58, 53, 49, 45, 38, 37, and 33, which started back in 1929. The stock market has never been higher. Billionaires are buying all in New York City, and I've never had so much money for my bags, which is why I believe I was put here on this earth. Never mind economic production, unemployment, reduced labor pool, outsourcing of factories, our money backed by something tangible. As long as we have ones and zeros, we can kick you and your children's future down the road until it's too late for your peons to stop us. So Merry Christmas from the Federal Reserve, celebrating 101 years of economic disparity and financial ruin, except for those of us who know the inside of the money-to-bags ratio quotient.
Thank you, Shadow Chairman of the Federal Reserve. Very, very nice. Now, we're going to play this highly censored video. You notice that the people that own A Wonderful Life, I think it's Turner Broadcasting, you notice they don't come out and say, hey, we're going to sue you. You can't air clips of our famous movie. Clearly fair use. They just have it censored all over the internet when we play this video that parallels It's a Wonderful Life with the real world that's happening back then and again today. And, of course, The Wizard of Oz and It's a Wonderful Life were both films made about the banksters and about the manipulation of currency. The first being The Wizard of Oz, that was a play written about the silver and gold standard. And then we're going to play a clip of Alan Greenspan on PBS saying the Federal Reserve is above the law. But first, let's go to David Knight's excellent It's a Wonderful Lie. Be sure and record the audio and the video of this. Screen capture this if you're watching our live streams at Infowars.com/show, because we've put up more than 8 copies of this over the years, and it's taken down in minutes. They are scared of this. Here it is.
Over the last 100 years, the Federal Reserve has created bubbles and burst them, enslaved us with debt, and destroyed our purchasing power through inflation. Yes, it's been a wonderful lie for the bankers. There are striking parallels in Frank Capra's It's a Wonderful Life to the lies and tricks that real bankers used to create the Federal Reserve. Human nature doesn't change, and the greedy elite of 1913 and 2013 look and act a lot like Potter, the banker in the movie. And many Americans are left like George Bailey, staring into the abyss as their dreams collapse and they face financial ruin. Do we live in a country that looks a lot more like Pottersville than Bedford Falls? What does Frank Capra's film show us about how we got here and how we can get out? When the Federal Reserve was created 2 days before Christmas 100 years ago, it was a culmination of 6 years of fraud, fear, and manipulation.
I've never really seen one, but that's got all the earmarks of being a run.
The panic of 1907 was used to shape public support for the Fed. The panic was triggered by rumors that two major banks were about to become insolvent, just as we see in the movie.
George, there is a rumor around town that you've closed your doors. Is that true?
I am going all out to help in this crisis. I have just guaranteed the bank sufficient funds to meet their needs. They will close up for a week and then reopen.
Just took over the bank.
I may lose a fortune, but I am willing to guarantee your people, too. Just tell them to bring their shares over here, and I will pay 50 cents on the dollar.
Boy, you never miss a trick, do you, Potter?
Unfortunately, J.P. Morgan got away with the deception and was able to shut down competitors and snapped up assets at fire sale prices.
Take during the Depression, for instance. You and I were the only ones that kept our heads. You saved the building and loan. I saved all the rest.
Yes, well, most people say you stole all the rest.
The envious ones say that, George. The suckers.
Charles Lindbergh Sr. warned people at the time of the creation of the Federal Reserve that it would not stop boom and bust cycles, but would actually create them in order to benefit its private owners. Here's what he said. To cause high prices, all the Federal Reserve Board will do will be to lower the rediscount rate, producing an expansion of credit and a rising stock market. Then, when businessmen are adjusted to these conditions, it can check prosperity in mid-career by arbitrarily raising the rate of interest. It can cause a pendulum of rising and falling market to swing gently back and forth, or cause violent fluctuations by a greater rate variation. And in either case, it will possess inside information as to the financial conditions and advance knowledge of the coming change, either up or down. This is the strangest, most dangerous advantage ever placed in the hands of a special privileged class by any government that ever existed. The system is private, conducted for the sole purpose of obtaining the greatest possible profits from the use of other people's money. They know in advance when to create panics to their advantage, and they know when to stop panic. Inflation and deflation work equally well for them when they control the finance. As we see in the movie, not all lending institutions have the same motivations.
Now, you take this loan here to Ernie Bishop. You know, that fellow that sits around all day on his brains in his taxi, you know. I happen to know the bank turned down this loan, but he comes here. And we're building him a house worth $5,000. Why?
Well, I handled that, Mr. Potter. You have all the papers there, his salary, insurance. I can personally vouch for his character.
Friend of yours?
Yes, sir.
You see, if you shoot pool with some employee here, you can come and borrow money. What does that get us? A discontented, lazy rabble instead of a thrifty working class.
As a former FDIC chair said, all too often the large banks use their models and their algorithms, and if you don't fit in their boxes, you don't get the loan. And Dodd-Frank legislation is tying the hands of small lenders, shutting out buyers and shutting down lenders. Today there are fewer lenders than at any time the government has kept records. 10,000 banks disappeared between 1984 and 2011.
This town needs this measly one-horse institution, if only to have some place where people can come without crawling to Potter. Come on.
In the movie, George gets to see what happens to the small town if Potter didn't have competition from credit unions and smaller lenders.
If it hadn't been for you...
Yeah, if it hadn't been for me, everybody would be a lot better off. My wife and my kids and my friends. And my... Look, little fella, why you go off and haunt somebody else?
Yeah, so you still think killing yourself would make everyone feel happier, eh?
Oh, I don't know. I guess you're right. I suppose it'd been better if I'd never been born at all.
Pottersville, the only businesses thriving are vice. People are angry. The town is filled with signs like, keep moving, keep off the grass. Bert the cop actually shoots at George when he's running away and is no threat to anyone.
Stand back!
Everyone is a renter. No one has a stake.
Now, you're Ernie Bishop, and you live in Bailey Park with your wife and kid.
Look, Bud, what's the idea? I live in a shack in Pottersville. My wife ran away 3 years ago and took the kid, and I ain't never seen you before in my life, see?
Private property and everyone having a stake is the antidote to Pottersville.
Here, you're all businessmen here. Don't it make them better citizens? Doesn't it make them better customers?
But whether it's the Trans-Pacific Partnership or a global carbon tax, the global elite don't see you as a stakeholder. They want to turn us all into serfs and treat us like cattle.
Just remember this, Mr. Potter, that this rabble you're talking about, they do most of the working and paying and living and dying in this community. Well, is it too much to have them work and pay and live and die in a couple of decent rooms and a bath? Anyway, my father didn't think so. People were human beings to him, but to you, a warped, frustrated old man, they're cattle. Well, in my book, he died a much richer man than you'll ever be.
I'm not interested in your book. I'm talking about the building and loan.
I know very well what you're talking about. You're talking about something you can't get your fingers on.
Speaking of riches, do you find the salary amounts amusing when Potter tries to buy George off?
Let's look at your side. Young man, 27, 28, married, making, say, 40 a week.
45.
45. 45. George, I'll start you out at $20,000 a year.
$20,000 a year?
You wouldn't mind living in the nicest house in town, buying your wife a lot of fine.
That was like $1 million.
A couple of business trips to New York a year, maybe once in a while Europe. You wouldn't mind that, would you, George?
Would I?
Even if George had saved a lot of his $20,000 salary, would it have bought much a couple of decades later? By even the government's very conservative estimate of inflation, the dollar has lost 90% of its value since 1947 when the movie was made. The Fed's deliberate inflation is devastating to anyone trying to accumulate wealth through hard work and saving. So what is the answer to all the George Baileys out there 100 years after the government gave control of our money supply to private bankers like Potter? Well, Potter had more money than he could spend. But would any of you want to be Potter?
You sit around here and you spin your little webs and you think the whole world revolves around you and your money. Well, it doesn't, Mr. Potter. In the whole vast configuration of things, I'd say you were nothing but a scurvy little spider.
George Bailey finally sees how rich his own life is as he sees the fruits of relationship, honesty, and compassion.
Hey! Merry Christmas, Mr. Potter!
Happy New Year to you! In jail!
Go on home, they're waiting for you.
And if the public can awaken to the lies of the Federal Reserve, if it could even be audited.
Well, hello, Mr. Bank Examiner!
It would be a huge step to breaking the chains that enslave all of us. But ultimately, it is God that changes minds and changes hearts. God hates oppression, and we can and should confidently pray that he will stop it.
I owe everything to George Bailey. Help him, dear Father. Joseph, Jesus, and Mary, help my friend, Mr. Bailey.
Help my son, George, tonight.
He never thinks about himself, God. That's why he's in trouble.
George is a good guy. Give him a break, God.
I love him, dear Lord. Watch over him tonight.
Please, God. Something's the matter with Daddy. Please bring Daddy back.
Dear Father in heaven, I'm not a praying man, but if you're up there and you can hear me,
for the InfoWars Nightly News, I'm David Knight.
A good, wholesome, nine-minute review under all fair use. We're doing commentary. We're analyzing. We're doing a review. It's a film that's been around for 80 years. And they don't want you to see that review. They are scared of the idea that people want an equal playing field to credit, an equal playing field to have a lot of small businesses, and that people back then knew that big, powerful robber barons were trying to shut them down using government regulation. I remember about 4 years ago when they passed a bunch of new, quote, bank regulations, the head of the Texas Banking Association wrote an article for the Texas Business Journal. It was in the Austin Business Journal. I saw it several places, saying these new regulations are meant to shut down competition and to absolutely rake people over the coals. And the article went into the private Federal Reserve. So even the heads of state banking boards know what's going on. Well, of course they know what's going on. But now they're speaking about it. It's safe now. 15 years ago, if you talked about this, they would send the ADL and Southern Poverty Law Center, and you might have the FBI come to your house. Or come to your business. We're here to do an emergency audit for fraud. These are federal marshals from the Treasury Department. They would come after you if you were in business and even talked about this. Guess what? You lose, New World Order. The House this year and 2 years ago passed the audit. The Senate barely defeated it. That's from no co-sponsors just 15, 16, 17 years ago for Ron Paul. The jig is up. The truth is coming out. And you even have Fed chairmen in Dallas and Missouri that have come out and said the Fed's become destructive. It was always destructive, but we need to reform it. We need to stop it. We need to stop giving free money to these offshore elites. We need to stop devaluing the dollar. I happen to know people, and I'll just leave it at that, that know the Kansas City and Dallas Fed heads. And they know that this is going to destroy the country. Sure, they don't mind being parts of big banks and running things back when they were actually giving some credit to people. Now it's purely a screw job. Purely a screw job. And so even people in their own system don't want to be part of it. Don't want to wreck their children and grandchildren's future. This will make us like Pottersville when there's death in the streets. That's what it creates. We don't want that. This broadcast is about exposing the hat trick, exposing the scam. Now, this clip's about 7 years old. It was the outgoing head of the Federal Reserve right after he'd left, Alan Greenspan, who wrote books about the New World Order and about the private Federal Reserve. So they bought him off. He was a smart economist, friends with Ron Paul. Here he is, they say, on the Lehrer NewsHour, he's asked, what is the role of Federal Reserve? And he says, well, just that no other group of government can audit us or look at us, and we're independent. Checks and balances on the three branches of government. Legislative, executive, judicial. Legislative controls the power of the purse, not this fourth branch, foreign robber baron bankers. But that's how far we've come, where there's the occupier. If he was wearing a Hitler monkey suit or a Stalin monkey suit or a Fidel Castro monkey suit, no one would go along with it. But it's a little man in a suit with little glasses in an American accent telling you this when he is as foreign as Martians to our system. Now let's go to this clip.
I apply it. I have the ideology because I believe that it is the best way of coming at the world and what type of policy.
What is the proper relationship, what should be the proper relationship between a chairman of the Fed and a president of the United States?
Well, first of all, the Federal Reserve is an independent agency, and that means basically that there is no other agency of government which can overrule actions that we take. So long as that is in place and there is no evidence that the administration or the Congress or anybody else is requesting that we do things other than what we think is the appropriate thing, then what the relationships are don't frankly matter. And
what a very profound statement. What a profound statement. It doesn't matter what Congress thinks. We're above the law. No one can tell us what to do, and we're an agency. What, like Cobra? Like Spectre? Like the man in the moon? I mean, this is how our ignorance empowers the system. And then I'm a conspiracy theorist because I'm informed. No. And that line doesn't work anymore. Second hour, masses of key global news. And we'll talk to the Northeast Intelligence Group coming up. I'm Alex Jones, InfoWars.com.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Coming up, we're going to cover the waterfront with Ackman and Hagman, father and son duo from the Northeast Intelligence Report. We're going to cover the waterfront and open the phones up. At the bottom of the third hour, we're going to have John Bowne in here to give his review. InfoWars Nightly News reporter and investigative journalist John Bowne will be in here to give us his take on the interview. I've not seen it yet. I am boycotting it. We downloaded it and bought it off Google when they launched it Wednesday to analyze it, and that even felt immoral. They staged a false flag to promote it. That's basically come out. But we'll be looking at that and breaking that down coming up. We'll have open phones with our guests for your questions, your comments. What do you think the big globalist threat is in 2015? Do you think they're bold enough to pull a false flag, even though folks are aware of terrorist false flags? That's just some of the news that's going to be coming up here today. We're also going to look at economics and what it signifies that Japan's in so much trouble with their savings rate turning negative. I'll also look at Congress's backroom pension cutting deal. It's even worse than expected, as the LA Times reports. I didn't get to this before Christmas when I saw it in the news Wednesday, so we're going to get to it today. Fountain Green holds first Christmas light parade for terminally ill girl, and it mentions this poor little six-year-old, quote, dying of a brain disease. And there's never a discussion about why these neurological disorders are exploding in the old and the young, and how they're directly linked to GMOs, vaccines, you name it. 30,000 Christmas cards were sent into this sweet little six-year-old, and they had a big first-ever parade in the town for it. I think that's very sweet and good. It shows how folks will go out of their way over sentimental issues and for children. But they use our love of children to try to restrict the Second Amendment, implying guns hurt children, as if guns cause the problem themselves, not bad people. And imagine if we could get every town upset about the private Federal Reserve and the New World Order enough to send in 30,000 Christmas cards or have parades, just not even demonstrations, but parades to rediscover America. But see, people go out and demonstrate for something that feels good and feels safe and doesn't feel controversial. And it is that innate political correctness where folks will only go out and demonstrate for the love of a six-year-old girl. I think that's the essence of the Christmas spirit. So I salute the people that did it, but they need to engage the bigger issues if we're ever going to have any hope. And look, it's a start. Just 10, 15 years ago, we all remember they were taking down crosses, Christmas trees everywhere. They were telling kids, don't hand out Christmas cards. Don't give each other presents at lunch the day before you get out of school. As if free association wasn't okay to begin with. They could have been handing out baseball cards at lunch. It's their free speech. They could have been handing out Hare Krishna pamphlets. It's their free speech. So in a way, it is good to, you know, Merry Christmas, do all this, just to counter the political correctness, even if you weren't a Christian. As if the consumerism is even about Christ. It's a holiday anybody can celebrate in its modern amalgamation. But just imagine on the hardcore issues of GMOs and fluoride in the water, or all these wars they're starting, or just a host of issues, the private Federal Reserve. If we could cover those issues and get the same fervor, our problems would be over in a flash. But we're reaching that tipping point. That's why the system's moving in to try to start a civil war beforehand.
From his Central Texas Command Center, deep behind enemy lines, the information war continues. It's Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
At the bottom of the hour, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to open the phones up for any questions or comments you have on the wide range of topics we're going to be breaking down today with Doug and Joe Hagman, father and son team, private investigators, HomelandSecurityUS.com, Hagman & Hagman. They have their own popular online vlog that reaches millions. And, of course, their frequent guest here and on CoastToCoastAM.com. I wanted to get them back on to ask them what they see as the biggest globalist threat, what they expect the New World Order to engage in 2015. They're clearly moving to implode Japan's economy, Russia's economy, the criminal groups that run our nation are on record saying that they've crashed the Russian ruble, which will then affect the EU, will then affect Japan. Japan's economy is in free fall right now. Their savings rate is now Well, here's the headline. Game over. Savings rate turns negative. Japanese economy begins to implode. Zero hedge. But about a month ago, it was revealed that Japan's shadow economic advisor is none other than Paul Krugman. We said it was only a matter of time before the Japanese economy implodes. Terminally. We didn't have long to wait, and last night, the barrage of Japanese economic data pretty much assured Japan's transition into a failed Keynesian status system. And then they go through breaking it down. In fact, after last night's abysmal Japanese economic data, we doubt even the most lobotomized Keynesian voodoo priest have anything favorable left to say about the system. Not only did core inflation miss expectations and is now clearly in slowdown mode, despite Japan's openly monetizing all gross treasury insurance. Not only did industrial production decline 0.6%, missing expectations on an increase and its record first decline in 3 months, with durable goods shipments crashing. Not only did consumer spending plunge for the eighth straight month, dropping 2.5 in November, with real spending on housing in 20% freefall, but the punchline, with nominal and real wages imploding, with total cash wages and overtime pay declined for the first time in 9 months and 20 months, respectively. And they go over it. Now, why does that matter? We're told they've lowered oil prices to get the global economy going. But separately, OPEC and others in the last year made deals for two reasons. Shut down the Russian economy that's based on oil and gas. Plunge the ruble. But also shut down burgeoning oil exploration and shale exploration in Canada, the United States, and Mexico, but mainly Canada, the United States. That is the only growing sector. If you look at the fake numbers, there's other growing sectors, but if you look at shadow stats and others, the only growing sector is oil and gas. It is propping up the Texas boom, the Dakotas boom, and so many other areas of the country. It's creating real jobs. And the Saudi princes are on record, even in the last issue of The Economist. It broke down the sheiks versus the wildcatters. And they are lobbying at state and federal level to shut down. Obama has cut the number of permits by close to 40% the last 6 months, won't let people drill. There is a concerted effort to shut Russia off and shut the U.S. off. And they sell it like, yeah, we're getting those Ruskies. Look at their ruble plunge. Yay! Well, that's going to drag Europe and then Japan down. Thanks to fracking, U.S. will pass Saudi Arabia in oil production. Again, that's a report from March. Well, not now with what Obama's doing. So what I'm getting at is there's this rigged global economy. We think as Americans or Chinese or Germans or Russians or Mexicans, Venezuelans, South Africans, but really it's just these big globalist operations. There's Bloomberg. The relentless production of shale oil is breaking OPEC's neck. That's Bloomberg. See? The only reason I show you these headlines is this is not my opinion. This is admitted this is going on. So there's an economic war going on, not between the U.S. and Russia. The U.S. is the muscle being used to destroy Russia economically right now. But that also hurts us. So why is it being done? It's also immoral to try to stop Russia selling its oil and gas. That would drive down prices at a reasonable level and would regionally distribute the energy systems. Instead, they're shutting them off to cause a global recession into depression in some areas, which will cause more global unrest, more global destabilization, which the large central banks use to buy up and consolidate power and control in their own words. So that's why I'm hammering on the Federal Reserve today, the European arm of a private banking cartel inside the U.S., so that people think about the top of the pyramid, the all-seeing eye, and not blacks and whites killing each other, not people randomly shooting cops, not cops thinking as the public as enemies, as we all descend on each other like a bunch of idiots. And I've played this clip probably 30 times. I want to play it again. Can we cue up From Russia to Love at the start of the film where they plan to play off? And then we'll keep our guests a little bit in the next hour. They Where and this is based on Ian Fleming's real things that happened that the spy chief then put into fiction to get around the classification rules, where there were banking cartels that were offshore, literally on yachts, manipulating different criminal groups and playing the Russians and the U.S. off against each other for economic gain. This is how the real world works. Let's go to the film from the 1960s.
Siamese fighting fish, fascinating creatures, brave but on the whole stupid. Yes, they're stupid, except for the occasional one such as we have here, who lets the other two fight while he waits. Waits until the survivor is so exhausted that he cannot defend himself. And then, like Spectre, he strikes.
I find the parallel amusing.
Our organization did not arrange for you to come over from the Russians just for amusement, number three. Come in, Kronstein.
All right, that's enough.
Sit down, number three.
1963, the same year they killed Kennedy. Let's go to Doug and Joe Hagman of Hagman & Hagman, father and son investigators, with all their great sources, a lot of great intel over the years we've gotten from them on what they see coming in the new year. I see economic warfare, maybe false flags to blame domestic groups. They're definitely, I remember you were on with us 2 years ago, and I didn't roll my eyes, Doug, because you'd given me a lot of intel that really turned out to be accurate over the years. But you said from your FBI and Homeland Security sources, they said the Justice Department is going to go to the next level, even though they didn't think they could get it going with the whole Zimmerman thing, that they're going to go to race war and then war on the police, and then that has now happened. Give us the latest intel on what's unfolding.
Alex, thanks for having us on the show again. And, you know, a very good clip, by the way, from the 1963 movie. The betta fish, the Siamese fighting fish, obviously puff up when they see another male of the species. So this is what's happening here. Perfect correlation of what's happening here. But to cut to the real heart of the matter here, aside from people like Michael Grunewald from Politico saying everything's awesome or reporting everything's awesome, what we're seeing happen here today, I believe, based on our sources, in the larger sense, and then we can, in the macro sense, and then we can burrow it down. But in the macro sense, what we've got is, geopolitically, we've got Russia and America at odds, and an economic warfare very similar to what we saw with America and Japan prior to World War II. You had the economic sanctions against Japan, the embargo, and bam, it turned into Pearl Harbor and a hot war. I think that we're seeing that run-up right now. The parallels are just indeed incredible to that, to the 1940-41 era time period. And if we keep in mind, Alex, that right now, well, as of 2013, for example, oil, natural gas accounted for 68, almost 70% of Russia's total export revenues for 2013. So what we're doing, essentially, and we've got a three-pronged approach against Russia. We're hitting them economically with the oil and gas glut prices, whatever you want to call it, via Saudi Arabia, the Saudi agenda. You've got the attack on the ruble asymmetrically against Russia. And then you've got the more open and overt warfare, the lines of battle, which include Syria and Ukraine. So we're actually giving them a three-pronged kind of battlefield, which is going on. That's the macro of everything, I believe. So while people are rejoicing over $2.38 a gallon of gas, people have got to understand where that's coming from and why we've got that. Having said all of that, drilling down domestically, you've got the very same globalists who are inking out, and Joe did a lot of research on this, inking out the geopolitical affairs. You've got this very same globalists, and our sources are telling us in person and other means that not only is the domestic situation with respect to race wars going to increase, there will be just a full court press for additional race wars. We saw that happen nearby Ferguson over this last holiday. And I think what's going to happen is more and more, you're going to have police being shot at, police being killed. This is going to usher in a new level of draconian laws against the citizens. And by the way, the Sony hack, if I can just reference that too, and I don't want to seem like I'm going all over the place, the Sony hack does figure prominently into this, the cybersecurity.
Stay there. I want to come back and get Joe's take geopolitically and economically with some of the data as well. We will continue straight ahead. I'm Alex Jones, your host. Infowars.com is the main site. Backup mirror, PrisonPlanet.com. And you can also be a subscriber if you want to see the nightly news and more at PrisonPlanet.tv. Stay with us. We'll be back straight ahead. Segment, we're going to open the phones up on any question, comment, or topic you'd like to raise for our guest. But undoubtedly, the world is going into a state of artificially created destabilization, so a handful of large financial interests can consolidate power. We have major global government treaties going through right now that Congress isn't even allowed to see. Meanwhile, in the last piece of funding legislation that passed a few weeks ago, pension fund rating laws changed so they could steal private pensions, not just public. Laws changed so they can sign everybody on to unlimited derivatives, bigger than the banker bailout of 2008. Huge things are happening. And then meanwhile, we have the article up on Infowars.com with the video and photos. Black Lives Matter protests smash up Oakland Christmas tree. Vandals say cops should have no time off in violent demonstrations. Another story, spoiled brats complain about Christmas gifts, stupid parents. What's going to happen when a depression hits? I don't think there's a question of if, just when, with all the spoiled brats in this country. That's just some of the stories up on Infowars.com. This is a short segment with Hagman and Hagman. They're with us for about 10, 15 minutes into the next hour, Doug and Joe Hagman. I want to go back, and then I want to get some of the economic data that your son Joe has, because I know he does a lot of the deep research. But Doug, specifically, you kept harping 2 years ago that their main strategy was race war. We'd caught the Justice Department involved, stirring up some of the riots, smaller riots that happened. They were, of course, upset about the fact they were small. Not to sting people, that'd be bad enough, but to actually get it going. What does Obama and the people he's got running his operation think they're going to do by stirring up race riots in this country? What's the end game of that? Because I know you have some sources in Homeland Security you said are really freaked out about this, and this attempt to play the public off against local law enforcement. What is the end game, and how is that going for them?
You know, Alex, from my perspective and from my sources, it's the end game objective here is to, first of all, create the chaos, create the problem, and then, of course, come in with the solution. And the solution is going to be a very large-scale, draconian-style, even a martial law scenario type of thing to really oppress the people and take away our rights.
And that's what you said 2 years ago, and now it's happening.
Well, yes, geographically, in little pockets in around the country. But the people at DHS, according to my DHS source, which is a different one than 2 years ago, got handed off in that respect, is saying, look, you know, they are getting very impatient with respect to the fact that this is not happening fast enough. So they very well might create or exacerbate already existing situations so they can advance this objective. And I know Joe's talked to my sources as well and done his own research to the extent that both of our research does match up. And this is coming, Alex. And as you pointed out many times, this is coming indeed. And it's to divide and conquer from within.
Well, sure. I mean, we've caught the Justice Department stirring it up over and over again with the controlled media. So that's proof right there. But the fact that your sources said this was the plan 2 years ago, and we now see it being executed, I think the good news is that Obama is I guess, frustrated then that it's not happening on a big enough scale. I guess the public's too smart for that?
Well, yeah, and Joe was talking about this earlier. It's the people, the alternative media right now is really making a difference in terms of the people who are awake, people like you and us talking to people, it's starting to make a difference. And quite frankly, it's starting to hack off the people that are trying to push forward this agenda. So, you know, now you can throw in the cybersecurity bill on top of this, or, you know, the Sony hack, which will perhaps lead to a cybersecurity bill. Joe's done a lot of research on this.
I want to get your take. We're going to come back and throw it to Joe on the Sony hack and on the economic data that on the oil war that's going on with the Saudis, the Russians, and the U.S. But briefly, in the minute we've got before we go to break, any other intel on the civil unrest that the globalists are trying to stir up?
Watch this spring and this summer. That's words directly from my source at DHS. It's going to get very hot in this country if they have their way.
More cops getting executed?
Well, that's a given, and it's going to lead up to a summer of discontent, summer of 1968 style.
They're looking for a tipping point.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, Al Gore said 2 years ago, we needed an Arab Spring here in America.
Yeah.
While he sits in his mansion with armed guards, he wants a bunch of teenagers to go around burning stuff down and shooting cops in the head. I mean, that's what an Arab Spring would be here, folks, with a bunch of stupid leftists running around shooting people. We'll be back. Stay with us. It makes me want to throw up.
He aligns himself with the truth, and it's time for you to choose a side. You're listening to Alex Jones.
There's something happening here.
Chaos is hanging around the tree.
Shooter Jennings 3 years ago produced this record with Stephen King, of all people, about the New World Order globalist police state running man takeover that we are firmly against. We're against the federalization, militarization of police, them being trained to go after constitutionalists, veterans, gun owners, law-abiding citizens. And I wrote the book. I don't say that figuratively. I say that in reality, on the police state. I made the films on the police state. That's because I'm against a police state. But being against a police state, like North Korea or Mexico, does not mean you're against the police. The final ingredient, the final ingredient of a police state is a civil war, a destabilization campaign. More students have now come up missing, being kidnapped. Others have been dug up dead in Mexico. Major capitals in Mexico, state capitals, have fallen. Universities are on fire. That has been orchestrated from without to a great extent. This is a destabilization campaign. It can be done here. The controllers will sit back overseas and watch this unfold. That's why we're trying to expose it. The toll-free number to join us if you've got any questions or comments for our guest on the topics we've raised today, 800-259-9231. First-time callers again, 800-259-9231 on this December 26th Worldwide Live Edition. I'll also be back this Sunday, Lord willing. Don't want to tempt fate, but I intend to be live this Sunday, 4 to 6 p.m. Central Standard Time. And please, never forget they're trying to pass SOPA and CISPA again. Never forget they're licking their chops saying they want to shut up the people they disagree with. Never forget that we have a chance to beat the globalists. That's why they want to shut us up. So your prayers, your support, spreading the word about the broadcast isn't needed. It's absolutely essential. You are the InfoWar. You are the resistance. So I salute all of you out there as we accelerate towards 2015. Okay, going back to Doug Hagman and Joe Hagman of the Northeast Intelligence Network, go ahead, get into the data that you had, Joe. Break that down, and then we're going to start going to some phone calls. I also want you guys to raise any topics that are front and center for you instead of me just asking the questions, so you guys have the floor.
Thanks, Alex. What you said right at the
top of the hour when you brought us on was very accurate. You know, they're destabilizing the economies in a way that they destabilize the governments of Syria and Libya. They're destabilizing these countries' economies for a fiscal reconsolidation under the IMF and World Bank to have this global economic rebalancing act that we're seeing here in 2015. And I hope I'm wrong, but I think we will see it in a big way in 2015. A lot of their monetary policy seems to shift towards more extreme monetary policy to tighten certain economies, to loosen other economies like we're seeing with Russia. In an IMF document from 2014 and a World Bank document, both, they talk about the upcoming Russian inflation and how to manage it in a way through fiscal policy that doesn't allow for rampant inflation, but they're going to control it in a way where they're strengthening, they say, the Russian economy and rebalancing it with less government control. And that's what they say here in their International Monetary Fund World Economic Outlook from 2014. And the World Bank has a similar publication from the same month. It's a global economic rebalancing act. And they're getting their pieces in place for what they want to do in the next phase of their initiative.
Yeah, and Alex, this amazed me the most. When he brought me these documents and he said, look, everything that's happening right now has been laid out and planned by the globalists. And here it is.
That's what's so frustrating. I'm trying to give you guys the floor because you got a lot of key data to get out. But exactly 95% of what we cover and you cover is just an admission. They just call it good. They go, we're helping Russia when we plunge their ruble. We're helping when we start cutting their exports off. We're helping. It's this sick speech, but they admit it's all being orchestrated. Go ahead.
No, it's just I just want to back him up. When he brought this to me, I looked at it. I thought, well, it's exactly what's happening now. Written 2 years ago, telling us exactly what they were going to do, and as you say, it's very frustrating to us when we're looking at this and we're handing this information out, and saying, "Look, this was planned. This is orchestrated. None of this is coincidence or by accident. This is all orchestrated, and it's economic warfare." And Alex, I don't think people understand how critical and how deadly, potentially deadly, this warfare is. I mean, we could be looking at nukes. I mean, at the worst case scenario.
Oh, yeah, here's the headline right now. Russia receives military doctrine, changes it, lists NATO buildup as number one threat. I mean, Russia is starting to go from a very passive role into a very aggressive role right now.
Yeah, President Putin approved this new military doctrine just today, listing NATO and the U.S. As enemies and as security concerns.
So there you go. The Cold War is back on, but now it's hot, and now Russia has announced it's getting ready to deploy its new supersonic nuke-tipped ICBMs.
Exactly. And Alex, when we look at this, Joe and I do, through the prism of Syria, for example, because one of the biggest, and I would say this, everyone keep their eyes still glued on Syria, because that is still the prize here. Syria, the destabilization takeover of Syria, and then ripping Turkey out of NATO and siding with Russia will be the somewhat of the collateral effect of that. So the bottom line here is we're going to see a lot of what we're seeing is economic warfare right now with some hot wars by proxy. However, when this happens, I do believe the gloves will be off and we're going to see.
That's right. The average person's watching ESPN right now where guys are wearing suits and ties, all real excited about football games. While meanwhile, it's well known that U.S. Special Forces have been forced to be in there, and they're very upset about it, advising the extremists that run the Ukrainian government to attack the Russians. And I don't have a dog in this fight. I'm not Russian or Ukrainian, but the West and George Soros have bragged they started it. And in my book, it's not right to come up to somebody's border and start bloodying their nose and then not expecting them to retaliate. How do you guys expect Russia to retaliate in an asymmetrical proxy war way against being encircled and being messed with?
Well, I think it was Wired Magazine who said 2015 would be the year of the hack. And I see this, the Sony hack is a run-up, as a testing, per se, a pilot program to their, what they call the Phantom Menace technique in warfare. And this is what they were going to do, is use proxies to hack. We know that the medical industry is a soft target, as they list it. And we have, you know, a huge push into this e-commerce. We have e-banking now. Everybody does their banking online. And, you know, through economic warfare, they could hack bank accounts. They could hack private, public, government, or under the guise and with government cooperation, make it appear as though they did. Just like we saw with the Sony hack. They were blaming it on North Korea. Investigation showed North Korea had nothing to do with it other than possibly being a proxy nation, which was used as a intermediary between who did attack them. And so, you know, what they call the Phantom Menace is kind of like terrorism. You can't point a finger at them. You can't identify an individual, but they get a general idea to make up this false enemy. And this is what they're planning on doing in 2015. And this will push in what you talked about, the cybersecurity bills and the internet security bills. This will strengthen the public's backing of these bills once they realize that their economies, their own bank accounts aren't safe, their health records aren't safe. As we move towards a push on electronic health records, the American people are going to, the more hacks we see, the more the American people are going to push to have these laws implemented, further restricting the freedom of the internet and policing it more.
And you know, Alex, if I can interject one thing, I'll go on record today right now by saying this. We saw what they did with the film Innocence of Muslims, and using that as the pretext for what happened in Benghazi. The fingerprints of the CIA, and in particular John O'Brien, all over that through proxy companies, NGOs. I'm going to tell you right here, right now, if based on my investigation and research, supplemented by Joe here, I got to tell you, look inward, look at our own intelligence agencies with respect to the Sony hack to pass the Cybersecurity Act and other draconian legislation against the internet and against against the internet as a whole. And as Joe said, and look for more soft target attacks or attacks against soft targets in 2015. In particular, the healthcare system that will usher in an entirely new type of arrangement with respect to how
exactly they'll claim Obamacare is not working well because of hacks. You can see how their mindset works. What about physical attacks? They say they're gearing up for patriots to blow stuff up with zero evidence. I mean, I see them in the movies, the culture priming the public mind for domestic physical attacks, bombs, truck bombs, mass shootings, to be blamed on the globalist opposition, the liberty movement. Any information on that?
Yeah, I mean, we see with what they're trying to do by stirring up racial tensions in different parts of the country, and we talked about how they're trying to reach a tipping point. I think that the American people are going to come together rather than pull each other apart, and they're going to see that their options are far and fewer to get this tipping point reached. So I believe they will pull out as much, you know, we saw with ISIS how when Syria wasn't, the public would not allow the government to strike Syria. And they repackaged the threat into the ISIS threat, threw out a couple of beheading videos, and now we have this huge enemy ISIS that we never see about or hear about unless, you know, they have some kind of propaganda video or a piece of news that is out there. I think they'll just repackage the threat and continue to push until they reach an emergence or a crisis point where they think that they can gain the upper hand and turn it into a full-blown tipping point and into a crisis that they won't allow to go to waste. They're looking for that one incident. That's all they need.
Think Oklahoma City style operation to blame the patriot groups and those Second Amendment bitter clingers, if you will.
It's so obvious, though. Now false flag has entered the vernacular of the military, the police, the public. They've got to be scared. Every time they pull a false flag now, our people are there with cameras. We keep catching them. That's why they've moved on to other types of economic and propaganda false flags. But they're licking their chops. They just better be really careful the next one they pull, because we're going to be there day one holding their feet to the fire. Everybody knows who has a motive to blow stuff up and blame the patriots. Everybody knows the whole political structure. Republican leadership and Democratic leadership are against the liberty movement because we are the people that know the Federal Reserve is private. We're the people that know where the bodies are buried. We know how stuff works. We know how to tie our shoelaces and wipe our noses. We're nothing special. We just know how real politics works. And it's that knowledge that scares them. Well, that knowledge has now been diversified to where it's in tens of millions of people, and we've got HUMAT, or human intelligence, organically operating everywhere that is basically unstoppable. I don't know what the system thinks they're going to pull, because now every angle we've got covered, every angle where they're countering them day one, and I don't mean my show or your show. I mean, it is frightening how powerful the Liberty Movement is and how it's exponentially growing. That's really got to scare the system.
But you know, Alex, they can actually change history. They can create false news reports. Joe was getting into that, how the plans, the infrastructure is laid for that. Right now, we're doing investigations attempting to get documentation, and this is something else, by the way, with respect to Obama, who Obama is, receiving or looking at various documents that once existed, no longer exist. I mean, they can destroy documents, change documents at will. It seems like it's just an amazing thing what's taking place with respect to the...
Well, they're creating a fog of war, a fog of confusion. But at the end of the day, there's no confidence in them. But, Joe, get into specifically, they announced last year, to, quote, counter the Drudge Report and others, they're going to launch intelligence operations domestically for disinfo. But still, I don't see that working. You're right. They can memory hole stuff. They can plant stuff on Facebook or Twitter. They can create fake videos, fake audios, edit things. What specifically are you getting at?
There's a new publication out titled State Actor Threats in 2025. And in this document, they talk about generating false news reports. They talk about computer graphics and how the technology has increased so much over the years that through artificial intelligence and cyber and computer graphics, they'll be able to show U.S. troops committing acts of war or show U.S. leaders or other people saying things that they never said, creating these, you know, fake videos, having the media companies report on them as news, only to later come out and say that they were lies.
There he is, Mad Dog Ben Richards, the brutal slayer of 100 men, women, and children in Bakersfield. And they show the footage of Schwarzenegger committing the atrocity when really he tried to stop the atrocity in The Running Man. The Running Man is now here. And again, give folks the name of that U.S. government document you just read.
It is called the State Actors Threats in 2025. State Actor Threats 2025.
And remember, anything they say 2025 is now. They always say it's out there. It's not scare the public.
And that's a seven-year-old document, basically, that's been out there for a long time, that's been buried underneath all kinds of other documentation. It was actually initially submitted in 2007.
And Air Force War College, yeah.
Yeah, but reformulated now to the current. So it's interesting. The abstract and the contents have been updated, and I would urge everyone to research that, you know, definitely, because it's really extremely...
I think the bottom line is we are all now in Buck Rogersville. We're now in a science fiction movie.
Oh, yeah.
With the brain uploads and the passive brain scanners and the face scanners and the GMOs and the nanotech and all of it, this is out of control. I mean, the world is out of control, and the government's busy worrying about Christians that own guns who aren't criminals. I mean, that shows you how crazy the elite are, that they're so evil, they're worried about moral people.
Exactly. And I'm not so sure that de Blasio from New York and even Obama and Holder, Obama to a lesser extent, but perhaps Holder and de Blasio expected the blowback that they got with respect to the to their policy. So, the objectives always, and Joe and I were talking about this, where the objectives are always the same, the racial warfare, the racial tensions, the divide and conquer from within. I mean, it's always there, but, you know, I think through the alternative media, we are actually pushing toward educating people and getting people a little
bit
more.
And by the way, the Pentagon, Hillary Clinton, the White House, the think tanks all admit that what they call liberty-based, truth-based media is really hurting them. I mean, they admit we're hurting them. So that should be some positive news, because the reason we're hurting them is we're decompartmentalizing these agencies. Where people are in the agencies, they have part of the info. We're decompartmentalizing from the outside. They're able to see we're telling the truth, which then causes our credibility to go up. Then we start getting fed more intel. The people inside start resisting more. And then that puts the brakes in a peaceful sabotage on the system. All we are is watchmen on the wall here alerting the public to the general tyranny. What you do about it is up to you. But I know this, standing up, saying no, will have an effect overall. It's really just that simple. None of us have to save the world by ourselves. We've all just got to try to get informed and inform others. And we will certainly dial back a lot of this tyranny. Our guest will be with us 20 minutes the next hour. Then we're doing some special reports on the interview and breaking that down. I want to go to Derek, Eleanor, Chris, Bill, Denise, and others. Derek from Wyoming, you're on the air with our guest. What do you have to say?
Hey, Alex, thanks for having me on. Thanks to the Hagman guys. I'll just have to say this is good to be saved. I got saved about 4 years ago. And I think, you know, with this, everything that's going on, it's much easier to share the true gospel of Christ. And, you know, I'm very excited about what's going on. It's not in a good way, I guess, but you know, if we know this history truly, we can paint a geopolitical picture that's so dark, there is only one light. And a lot of these churches are so state-run, so counterfeit, and I find them in smaller and smaller places. And men of God, true men of God, are very frustrated, and some of them don't want to look at it, some of these smaller pastors and such, and they know a lot of this is true.
Well, and I think you're really hitting the nail on the head here that one of our biggest problems is state-run media, state-run churches, the faith-based initiative, things like that. I appreciate your call. Let me get our guest take on that whole agenda to turn the churches into nothing but government mouthpieces.
Absolutely. And this is where both pastors and congregants need to understand that reading, you know, the word themselves, doing the research themselves, whether it's in scripture or in world events, is essential. No one can depend on another person for their information or their learning. And in doing so, we forfeit, you know, so much. So we have to continue to strive to learn on our own. And we can't put that burden on anybody else or expect anybody else to tell us the whole truth. We need to seek ourselves. That's very important.
All right, let's go to another caller here. Bill in Florida, you're on the air. Welcome.
Hey, Alex, thanks for taking my call. Big fan.
Thank you, brother.
I just wanted to know if you guys have heard about the FBI Memphis division issuing a warning to local police about an ISIS threat to blow up the Memphis, Arkansas bridge spanning the Mississippi River this month.
Yeah, well, actually, we've been following a couple of FBI bulletins. We belong to the National Counterterrorism Officers Association. We get the inside track on various threats. And I got to tell you, the ISIS threat in America, whether it's the Hoover Dam or Las Vegas or New York or Los Angeles, I mean, pick a place, pick a scenario. It's there. It's out there. And it seems like a lot of these are they're issued with less than credible, perhaps, information, and maybe, as they put it, with an overabundance of caution. However, there's really, we've seen nothing credible in terms of a serious terrorist type attack. However, the southern border, the very poor southern border, has let a lot of state actors in, including but not limited to ISIS and others. So, I mean, it's really a multi-dimensional or a multi-level chess game at play here.
Put it to you this way, in my view, if ISIS is running around taking down countries, killing hundreds of thousands of people, why wouldn't they be attacking us when the border's open and we know they're coming in, unless they're being held on a tight leash by the West that helped get them funded and helped them stand up, helped them get their operations rolling? Doesn't mean they're totally controlled, but they were fed and coddled and, you know, raised like a bucket of rattlesnakes before they were dumped on us. And they have been deployed into the U.S. along with other sleeper groups that will then be activated by criminal groups in the global combine. And the terrorists that will attack us, even when, will never even know the big picture. You agree with that breakdown, Doug?
Oh, absolutely. 100%. Yeah, I could not have said that better. And that's, and I'm sure, Joe, I think you echo
I want to get Joe's take on it in 60 seconds. So third hour coming up. We're going to continue with phone calls. Thank you, Bill. Chris, Eleanor, Denise, and many others, your calls straight ahead. We're live on the 26th day of December.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
We're taking your phone calls, 800-259-9231, 800-259-9231. Questions or comments for myself or our guest, Hagman & Hagman, investigative reporters and criminal investigators, private investigators. Going back to Doug and Joe. Joe, you've got some comments on the radical groups they're allowing into the country. I mean, Obama has been openly allowing radical Islamicists and the funding out of Kenya into Egypt. And they're moving to indict a bunch of Americans over in Egypt right now. I mean, this is just crazy how criminal our elites are. What's your take on that?
No, you're absolutely right. They are criminal to the worst extent possible. And I believe that ISIS, much like Al-Qaeda, you know, they're priming the pump, conditioning the American public to understand that there is some kind of attack coming, whether it is on the field of the world or it's a cyber attack. They are getting ready to do something. And I believe that, much like we saw in 9/11, that the government knows a lot of what's going on in the Middle East and knows a lot of the threats, with the ability from the NSA to monitor everyone's conversations in real time. I don't see how they could have a threat, a true threat, go through undetected. So I believe that a lot of this is the staging, the getting ready for, and possibly, if they needed to, the carrying out of a terrorist attack.
I agree.
Well, there's obvious motive by the establishment to allow attacks to happen or to actually carry them out or stage them to get more power. It's a simple equation, but it just doesn't work anymore. Chris, in FEMA Region 10, I guess you're up in the Pacific Northwest somewhere, Chris?
Yes, sir. Hey, Alex Jones and Doug Hagman, I really, really, and Joe, I really, really appreciate your service to the country, and I keep you guys in my prayer, so God bless you.
God bless you.
Thank you. What I wanted to ask is, I want to talk about the misdirection that I see. I mean, we're always looking for who's responsible. We hear a lot about the British elite, the Dutch elite, the Rothschilds, Soros, and all these guys. But where do all roads lead? It seems like all roads lead to Rome. The smallest country in the world is also the richest. The Vatican holds a quarter of the world's gold. They are at the top of the pyramid. They're controlling all these people. I just want to get your take on that.
You want my take or Doug's take or Joe's take?
I would love all three of your take on it.
Okay, Doug, you take it first.
Well, I think all roads do lead to Rome, as well as, well, they've got offshoots or interchanges in the city of London, as well as Washington, D.C. I think at the end of the day, what they're trying to do here is create a one-world system of governance. Alex, you talk about this. You've got the one-world economy, one-world global governance.
I was about to say, it's the same management technique in the city of London, or in Israel, or in the Vatican, or in D.C. That's its own district. I mean, everybody always wants to zero in on Jews or Catholics or Masons, or when really at the top, you've got corrupt people that have taken over every major organization. And I've just found it's counterproductive to sit there and say, it's the cops' fault, or it's the blacks' fault, or it's the whites' fault, or it's the Mexicans' fault, or it's the Vatican's fault. I mean, taking Catholicism, I'm not Catholic, but I've looked at it, being a newsman. There's 100 different groups in there. They're all fighting with each other. Obviously, it's true. The Vatican helped set up the EU because it wants to run Europe. So, yeah, it is a big part of it. And I don't defend that. At the same time, though, there are a lot of Catholics out fighting the New World Order and fighting abortion who are good people. You know, I mean, it just, I'm going to hold you over because I want to continue this whole Vatican discussion. It's fascinating. I should do a whole show like on Jews or on Vatican or on Masons or on, and then just kind of look at how there's different groups in all these groups and how it's a globalist philosophy, a philosophy of tyranny versus a philosophy of liberty. And I'm just here promoting the philosophy of liberty, and I think we can get everybody involved in it.
Rallying patriots worldwide in defense of human liberty. It's Alex Jones.
I'm gonna steal me silver stallion
with not a mark
upon his silky hide.
Teach him he can trust me like a brother.
Teach him he can trust me like a brother.
And then one day,
one day we'll saddle up and ride.
And we're gonna ride.
And we're gonna ride.
We're gonna
we're
ride.
We're gonna ride.
Gotta love that Johnny Cash.
Riding like a one-eyed jack of diamonds
with the devil close behind.
We're gonna ride.
Hashtag Black Lives Matter protesters smash up Oakland Christmas tree. The city Christmas tree. Vandals say cops should have no time off in violent demonstrations.
I'm gonna find
rioters once again delegitimize anti-police brutality protest by pointlessly smashing up a festive display in Oakland on Christmas Day. The rioters also smashed shop windows, set dumpsters on fire, and injured a journalist who was attempting to report on the gathering. We have video up on Infowars.com. Let me tell you something. If I was a journalist, I thought I was be covering rioters or something. Somebody came over and tried to hit me in the head with a hammer or something. I just blow them away. And I'm getting really sick of this. I'm not here to just lay down and die for a bunch of idiots. It's ridiculous. That's real good PR to go smash Christmas trees and beat up a reporter. You know, that's something the system has going for them. Hagman and Hagman, father and son, investigative team. And I want to go back to the calls and talk about the Vatican thing the caller just brought up. I'm going to go back to him, Chris, and then take it to the bottom of the hour. Start getting in a hurry and start stumbling over my words. But how do you counter the ignorance of the public and ignorance in government as well versus those of us that are awake? I mean, we're not on some high horse saying we're real smart, but I can have discussions with billionaires, corporate people, you name it. They're so amazed that I know about fractional reserve banking or I know about basic stuff. I mean, just in business, that can make you so much more successful. How did they ever convince the public that it's dumb to be informed about how the world really works? And how do you reach out to people that are so stupid and so full of hate, they think smashing up a Christmas tree or shooting innocent cops in the head is a moral activity?
Well, you said something there, you know, that not only are they not informed, but they're full of hate. And we see that, you know, through the TV and the propaganda on the airwaves, whether it's through visual or audio stimulus, that they've been able to play on emotional strings of the people. And we see this a lot, too. You encounter people where you have the proof and the facts and you can show them to somebody and they will hate you for being the messenger or hate you for telling them the truth, not willing to look at the truth. It's a process that is in trying to bridge that gap of helping people understand the information, not just showing it to them or giving it to them is hard to do these days. You know, people are set in what they believe. And I think until the public has their own personal experience that opens their eyes or leads them to search for an answer, they're not going to be open to it because they've been so
Conditioned.
Yeah, you know?
conditioned. It's conditioning. It's programming. At the root of the level, I mean, it's all mind control. It really is.
Well, I mean, if a cop killed somebody in my family in cold blood and got away with it, I would do things legally and other ways of that, you know, whatever it took to get justice. But it would be against the person that did it, not against some random person in another jurisdiction. It gets down to mindless tribalism, Coke, Pepsi, Ford, Chevy, that it's just us against them. It's totally sick. I want to go back to Chris. If some people just joined us, Chris called in and said, hey, all roads lead to Rome, and doesn't the Vatican run the whole planet? From my deep research, the Vatican is up to its eyeballs in the New World Order, in setting up the Euro, the founding Treaty of Rome is what it's called, in 1957 that really first established the EU. The Catholic Church bishops in the Southwest are pushing for open borders and telling illegals to come in. So I think it's seditious, but then other Catholic bishops in Europe are trying to close the borders. I think it's diversified, and I'm not giving the Vatican a pass, but I'm not here Catholic bashing. My point when he said, do you think the Catholic Church runs it all is, all people do is fight over who runs everything. Is it the Illuminati, or is it the Masons, or is it the Jews, or is it the Rockefellers, or is it the Catholic Church? And then there's all this endless fighting. Hey, the Federal Reserve's private. It's screwing us over. Let's get rid of it. Hey, I just don't get caught up. It's more divide and conquer, I found, to get into bashing one group or another. Isn't it just corruption at the top? That's my take. Chris, what is your take?
I think there is a lot of diversity, and I do see a division in the Catholic Church, and I think a lot of higher ranking priests and bishops and cardinals are waking up to the truth. And I got to thank you for leading me back to the truth. You led me back to Christ, and praise God for that. And, you know, when you look in Revelation, the great whore, the great harlot who rides atop the beast is the Catholic Church, is the Vatican. They are at the top of the pyramid right underneath Lucifer.
Well, sure. I think it's state-run Christian fake. I mean, here's the issue. Everything the Catholic Church is doing, the Protestant churches are doing as well. They're pushing for open borders. They're saying turn your guns in. They're saying do what the government says. That's all I'm saying is when we sit there and just single out one church or one organization, I think it plays into the larger divide and conquer. Go ahead.
Also, the new Illuminati official website, people have done some research and tracked it back to the Vatican Church. It was created by a Jesuit priest. I would love to hear a whole show on the Vatican. Maybe Eric John Phelps would be a guest. I know that.
But here's the problem. Here's my problem. Okay, Phelps has said things about me that just aren't true. And see, that's what I'm saying is that, and I appreciate your call, is that people make up these faux controversies. That's what I'm saying. Alex Jones works for Israel because he doesn't hate Jews. And you know, then they Photoshop me at a Jewish wedding and stuff. I mean, it's just when I have Jewish friends, it's all the infighting that Cass Sunstein talks about generating when he was the regulation czar, well, still is that it just falls into this mindlessness where I've been told by people, you will come out against the Vatican and say it's the devil and the only problem, or we'll expose you for working for him. Well, I don't work for the Vatican. So people that say, you know, do what we say, we're going to have an inquisition of you, it's just another form of tyranny. So that's what and Israel tries to play people off, some of the Israel lobby, and make it all about the Vatican. And the Vatican under the table does stuff blaming it all on Israel. Well, I'm not in an Israel-Vatican fight. I'm not in a black-white fight or a black-against-cop fight. I'm here to promote liberty. I'm here to promote freedom. I'm here to promote ideas of free market and private property and freedom of religion, where you got freedom and I got freedom, as long as you don't infringe on my freedom or I don't on yours. It comes down to that. That's what I'm trying to get at. Let's go ahead and talk to Cupcake in Maryland. Then we'll talk to Denise, Eleanor, George, and others to see if we have any questions for our guest. Go ahead, Cupcake.
Well, hi there, Dollface. How are you?
I'm all right.
All right. I've got a question for Doug and Joe.
Go ahead.
And you can chime in. But I've read a series of articles this past week from Dave Hodges addressing the EMP threat. And I'm wondering how y'all feel about that, what your sources are telling you, how likely that is. And also my second question is, have you felt a significant shift, almost a paradigm shift in just the last couple of weeks?
All right. Well, I mean, I'll give you my take and then theirs. I'm worried about a Carrington event from the sun, not so much a foreign EMP attack. An EMP attack, something the globalists might pull. Guys, give us your take.
Yeah, I'm with you there. I've talked to Dave Hodges a number of times this past week, the last 10 days, about his articles. Our viewpoints differ a little bit. While we see an EMP as being a possibility to take down the grid, it more than likely, at least in our view, based on what we've researched, it would happen perhaps at a later time, after things have been after we've been really raped, pillaged, and robbed here in the States. So that could come later.
So that's more of a coup de grace after they've already sucked us dry, deindustrialized us, had a civil war.
Right, barring, of course, like a Carrington type of an event, because there's much more wealth here for the globalists to take. So they don't want to destroy us before they take everything from us. That's kind of my viewpoint.
That's right. A spider wants to suck all the juice out before he cuts the bug loose.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree.
Let's skip this network break so we get lots of calls in here and go right to the bottom of the hour with our guest. Thank you, Cupcake. Let's talk to Denise in FEMA Region 5. What former state are you calling in from?
FEMA Region 5, Minnesota.
All right. Well, welcome to the airwaves.
Thank you. Listen, I pray for you every day, Alex.
Thank you, sweetheart.
Pray for your safety and your family.
But believe me, I need it, so thank you.
Yeah, don't we all? I mean, we all do. Here's my question. I am wondering what's going to happen in 2015 because of the new lawsuit that's coming out against the gun manufacturers in the Sandy Hook case.
Because,
and the reason I say is
that should open up discovery of how fake it is. Great point. Go ahead.
There was a movie out with Gene Hackman and John Cusack, and it was called Runaway Jury. And it was a great movie, and it was about a gunman who went in and shot up an attorney's office and killed a bunch of the attorneys in the office. And what the wife of one of the injured people did was ended up going back and suing the gun manufacturer. And the movie goes into a great amount of how corrupt our whole judicial system is and how they paid off jury members and all this kind of stuff. And I remember Wolfgang Helbig said one of his reasons for questioning Sandy Hook was nobody was suing. None of the parents were suing like they did in
Columbus. That is a super question. You get the gold star, I think, for the best question of the day out of a lot of excellent ones. Hagman and Hagman, give me your take on Sandy Hook and what this new lawsuit against Bushmaster means.
I'll just chime in here first. I think, Alex, I think you hit the nail on the head. Of all of the criminal and civil trials we've been involved in, the key here is going to be the discovery phase. Let's see what that brings, if it even gets to that point. If it's not, if the government doesn't step in or the powers step in to say no, you're not going to go there, or they put up they quash the entire process. But I think it's an excellent point that the discovery is going to be key in revealing things yet unrevealed.
Yeah, and Sandy Hook. I think that I'm not sure if it was you or another news agency that reported the FBI statistics of murders in 2000.
Well, the FBI's own site said none in that town. Yeah,
I mean, and other examples were shown that they counted the massacre in Aurora and those victims in their statistics, and other situations that took place. But you know, Sandy Hook has been a big mystery for me because there's so much. I think not only disinfo but planted disinfo. Or, you know, leading people down certain roads of seeking that was done intentionally. I think.
Sure. What do you guys think of Helbig? I mean, he was a big, you know, successful, famous school safety guy, wrote the book on a lot of it. All I know is I saw Cooper with blue screen out there, green screen. I know I saw the kids doing fake, you know, rotations in and out of the building. They tore it down, all the unprecedented gag orders, you know, the police in anti-terror outfits in the woods. Then they denied that that'd been in the news. I mean, something's being hidden there. You guys are on the East Coast. You have a lot of sources. What do you really think happened?
Boy, Alex, the what really happened, I don't know. But I'll tell you what we do know, and I can speak for John on this, and you can speak for himself, obviously, but what we do know is the original or the official narrative is not what really happened. I mean, look at look at the behavior of the coroner when he came out. That really struck me as being just the medical examiner there on scene, and being a blood spatter analyst myself, and working with coroners, working with police, working with the prosecutors. I've never seen anything quite like that in my life.
Yeah, and we talked about computer-generated and false news reports. I think this was a pilot, possibly, and I'm not saying that the event didn't happen. Or it definitely didn't happen the way they reported it to, but I think this was one of the initial ways that they're learning how to manipulate news coverage. You know,
very astute. That's what I said a few weeks into it. I said they may have killed real kids, but they're practicing how to propagandize and how to control the press and how to put out a product that's a fraud. When I just saw the heavy, heavy, heavy scripting, that was what was so clear. And then the parents laughing, and then 1 second later doing the actor breathing to cry. I mean, it's just over the top.
Agreed. Yep.
over-the-top sick. And we know they've staged other stuff before. I mean, they built fake villages and then didn't declassify it for about 5 years for Queen Elizabeth to visit in Africa.
Exactly. And, you know, a lot of this, Alex, I got to tell you, to me, and this is a subject for another day, of course, but if you look at the satanic ritual sacrifice abuse of these psychos in power, and I mean, obviously that's another topic for another time, but you know, just look at that as an overlay of what happened.
Well, just this week they've had in witchcraft deals two different dead kids this week, and then every time we talk about it, they go, "Shut up!" You know, the occult doesn't kill kids. Well, it has throughout history.
Absolutely.
So there's also this institutional cover-up of child abuse, not just in the Catholic Church, but across the board.
Absolutely. Yeah. And this, we have to figure this in as a variable here, too. These are called high holidays and such. I mean, there's just so many aspects to this. But that was a great, great question indeed.
I mean, just we had a 10-year-old boy mutilated and murdered just this week in a witchcraft ceremony. That was another one. I mean, this is going on, and then every time we raise it, we get attacked. I'm just reporting. This stuff goes on, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you, Denise. Excellent questions. Eleanor in Missouri, you're up next. Go ahead. Thanks for holding.
Hi. Thank you, Alex and Doug and Joe Hagman, for being who you are. I just had a comment about the false flags and how they're staged and how they're done so badly these days. There's a guy by the name of Ole Demengard who talks about this and how it's all, you know, even they even choose certain colors for certain false flag events to propagandize the public and get them, you know, to, you know, it's just like what Doug and Joe Hagman were saying. It's ritual magic that they use. And then the second thing was that I've been seeing shortages in the food stores, too, what Steve Quayle was talking about before. And I'm just wondering about how these food riots are, like, where they're going to come in.
Well, there are record food shortages worldwide. And when that happens in a third world country, you get mass rioting because, you know, half the discretionary income goes to food in most third world countries. And America is seeing massive food price increases. Hagman, which one of you wants to take that question?
Yeah, look at Venezuela and how the government had to start rationing the citizens buying groceries from stores. You know, they only certain citizens were allowed to buy, I think it was a 7-day worth of food at a time, and they're waiting in line for hours. I think the, you know, we saw the huge drought in California. There is a culling or a shortening of the herd, and they're thinning the population through these different, you know, genetically modified foods from that to taking the nutrients and the important minerals out of the food.
And as you said, everything we've seen so far is only beta testing.
That's right.
But you can see it all lining up globally towards the next big phase. That's what we've got to basically discredit, sabotage, and expose peacefully as much of their operation as we can, because what it can't survive is exposure, in my experience.
Yeah, exactly. And I think what we're seeing here with the food shortages today, the ground beef at $4.20 a pound, highest on record. I think in this particular case, and in certain cases here, I think what we're seeing are the birth pangs of a larger economic and food supply disruption that, you know, that will happen. That's my view.
Absolutely. Thank you, Eleanor. And again, here we're so spoiled on average, it's not as big a deal. But in third world, it's life and death. But ground beef being at record prices, or beef poultry at record prices across the board, is a microcosm of everything. Record amounts of ranchers are going out of business because of regulations and fines and control. The big three meat packers shut down all the small operators with federal regulations the last 20 years. There are no real stockyards anymore that have real auctions. They still have them, but it's only a few major bidders there. So record beef prices, but the beef producers are going out of business. That shows how a rigged crony capitalist system is one of the worst you can live under. The opposite of a free market.
It's economic tyranny, and it's slavery at its finest, or at its best, or worst, whatever you want to call it.
Gentlemen, we're out of time. We got George in Connecticut, Robert, Dan, D. I'll get to them coming up after you're gone, but you got about a minute and a half for any other key intel you want to put out there for folks.
I'll take 30 seconds of that. I'll tell you what, Alex, what we've been looking at here very closely is watch Syria, watch the Middle East, watch the geopolitics of the Middle East, watch the small arms trade treaty here in this country. Obviously, you've covered that, or how it will affect the massive gun administration. The key thing here, over everything that we're looking at, is the killing off of the U.S. dollar. That's the ultimate goal, the balkanization of America, falling behind it through the massive illegal immigration and the blanket amnesty.
Yeah, and I believe that, you know, this 2015 coming up, as I stated earlier, as read from so many of the mainstream news sites, that they're 2015 will be the, you know, the year of the hacking, the cyber insecurity, as they call it. I would definitely keep my eyes on that and how that plays into their objectives. As you pointed out, we are slaves under an economic and tyrannical, political, authoritarian type system. And just look for them to continue to push buttons and try to pull strings of the hearts of the American people to shape the agenda and shape the world events in the way they want them for the reactions that they want. And we have to take a step back. Every time we see something big happen, we have to take a step back and analyze it before we start trying to jump to conclusions or fitting pieces.
Exactly, and that's what I'm going to cover next. Obama creates the truth of it on his own agenda. LouRockwell.com, ask why. I'm going to break that down, take your calls, talk to John Bowne and more. Gentlemen, thank you so much for spending time with us.
Thank you, Alex.
Hagman and Hagman.com, that's their site. We're InfoWars.com. Stay with us.
We're on the march. The empire's
We're going to look at the interview coming up.
Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
We now take you live
to the Central Texas Command Center.
In the heart.
In the heart of the resistance.
Yeah!
It's Alex Jones.
And we'll be back this Sunday, 4 to 6 p.m. Central, with the live Sunday transmission. And right through next week into the new year, 2015. We're going to do a review and breakdown of the interview. John Bowne forced himself to watch it. Now on Rotten Tomatoes, its rating is about 48% and dropping. It's as low as 33% on some of the other reviews. It is a true turd. I don't usually use juvenile potty humor colloquials, but that's what it is. When a rose is a rose, it's a rose by any other name. When something is an Obama dropping, it is an Obama dropping by any other name as well. So this is certainly a disaster. I've got one other story I want to hit that I just mentioned. Then we're going to go to John Bowne and his review. And then your phone calls for George and many others like D, Dan, Johnny, and Robert. We'll get to all of you before the transmission ends. My New Year's resolution is that I'm going to take Oxy Powder time-released oxygen caplets that are proprietary that release in the upper and lower intestine, the large and small intestine, and flush you out like nothing you've ever imagined. Painlessly, in my case, other people say it's quite gentle. This is not like the toxic herbs, you know, the stuff that's really not so much toxic, that's the wrong word. Harsh would be the word. This is truly amazing. It is the fastest results nutraceutical we have at InfoWarsLife.com, and your purchase supports the broadcast, the Survival Shield X2, the Colloidal Silver Silver Bullet, the Super Mill Vitality. All of them are super high-quality products, the OccuPower, the DNA Force, and your purchase makes this whole operation possible. But really, they're amazing products. We only come out with the most pure, groundbreaking, hardcore products at InfoWarsLife.com. You can also call toll-free 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, and we can answer all your questions and take your order over the phone. I want to thank you all for your support as well going into this new year and throughout the holidays. 888-253-3139. The average person takes four caplets a day. A bigger man, six or seven. Rob Dew lost 12 pounds in 1 week of stuff that was rotting inside of him. I don't want to get into details here. In fact, I'm putting CJ on the spot while I'm plugging. CJ, I can't see through the window. Is he on the board?
I'm here.
Tell folks what happened when you took Oxy Powder.
I took five caplets a night, and
it didn't really have to wake up at night or anything to have a break, but woke up that morning and did the typical routine multiple times a day, and had to go through a couple different belt sizes to to get my pants to stay on.
How many belt sizes did you lose? How fast?
I guess it was two notches in about a week. Yeah.
Yeah. I would go tubing with Rob Dew, his wife, my family, and Rob's in good shape. I mean, no fat on him, but like a lot of guys that are in good shape, have big muscles, he had a little belly sticking out.
That was me.
That's not just your intestines in there are just big. You're full of what? Full of rotting food, folks. And I'm telling you, it's sensational. Try it out for yourself. 888-253-3139. And give it to your friends and family. And it's a six-day regimen. You can go longer if you want. Dramatic. I do it every few months now. And I'd got up to almost 280, 279 pounds. I'm down to about 220 right now. And I'm very soon, I've just been too busy, I'm going to do a shirt-off shoot. And show me about 4 years ago when I took my shirt off as a joke, saying, here, IRS, you can have this too. We're going to show that versus now. So I've still got some inflammation from allergies and puffiness in my face, but, I mean, it's just dramatic. My stomach's 90% gone. I'm working out the same as I always was. And just the nutraceuticals and the oxy powder have done wonders. Now, I mentioned this story. Obama creates the, quote, truth of his agenda. Why does Obama come up with such quick judgments on news events and make them public? This is a story at LouRockwell.com, up on Infowars.com. Why does Obama come up with such quick judgments on news events and make them public? Whether it's the downing of MH17, the use of chemical weapons in Syria, the death of Michael Brown, or the hacking of Sony, Obama hastily tells everyone what happened, even though he cannot possibly know what has happened. Why does he do this? In each case, he clearly has an agenda that he wishes to promote. He has his ulterior motives. Ulterior. He wants to use the events to advance his political agenda. And then the article goes through it. It's a good little short article. And I know this is simple to most people, but for folks not paying attention, it just becomes reality. The president tells you global warming's real and it's man-made. It's true. The president tells you you didn't build your business. It's true. The president tells a black lady he's going to get her a house, even though he doesn't. It's true. The Obama says it's basically racist, police. It must be true. This is the propaganda system. We know the Russians shot down this plane with no proof. Day one. How suspicious is that? I was like, well, it might be the Russians, but I'll sure tell you that they don't have a motive. That's what this comes down to. And when this Sony thing broke 2.5 weeks ago, I said, yeah, probably a false flag to promote the movie. They'll say they're not going to release it. Then they will. They just bypassed the theaters to a pure profit margin of $14.99 and reportedly had hundreds of thousands of downloads the first day. I don't know what it is now. It's going to end up being hugely profitable, they project, even though it has one of the worst ratings ever recorded for a major movie on major platforms. IMDb, you name it. Now, we're going to go to John. Let's turn his mic on. John Bowne here was up here working today, getting some video clips together. He's seen the whole movie. I said, instead of me playing a few clips, you've seen it. Investigative journalist John Bowne puts together a lot of the video reports you see. I said, come on in and tell us your take on it. But now it's come out that the FBI said day one, looks like an inside job, and that it was a hack attack out of Japan, at least bouncing the hacks off that through computers there, and not North Korea, who we're not defending. We just go with the truth. So it's they get to burn people in Hollywood they don't like, make Clooney look like an angel. Obama gets to defend the First Amendment and stand up against censorship when he's doing the opposite in the real world. There's a lot of motives here, but talking about it, the film itself, John Bowne has now seen it. We have some clips we're going to play. John Bowne, you have the control tower. Give us your review.
Well, you mentioned Sony. The hack in Sony was it revealed that Sony was well aware that this movie was going to be a total bomb. So what better way to do it than to have the president of the United States come out and, before he goes on his 14-day, 17-day vacation in Hawaii to make himself look good, to say, hey, I'm standing up for the First Amendment. Well, the reason this movie is so painful to watch is because it doesn't feel good to you from the beginning. There's so much wrapped around it. And a lot of the stuff that's the onion of this movie involves the interior attack of the Chinese on our Hollywood media system. What is his name? Wang Jianlin, a billionaire Chinese businessman, owns AMC, which is the second largest chain here in the
United States. And they were the ones that told them, don't release Red Dawn until a year later to take the Chinese out.
Yeah, so this is the...
So there's the real issue.
Yeah, this is the next step in their propaganda. And as you well know, China and Russia are very...
So you're saying in the film they throw it in their face that China runs us?
Well, in the beginning of the film, in this first clip, I called it The Mission, they take Seth Rogen, who wrote and directed, co-directed the film, and they take him to a rural part of China to give him his mission for North Korea, which another part about North Korea and China that no one's seeing is that North Korea is basically China's little brother that they hand billions of dollars of aid to every year.
And they border them.
Biggest ally, they border them, and they hate Japan. So, you know, North Korea is as close to Japan as you're going to get. And so in this first clip, The Mission, we get an idea of where Seth Rogen, the writer and creator, and James Franco, or Flacco, as Obama called him. I wonder if that was staged right there. But you get an idea of what the mission is, how clueless they are, and how much of a part of the Hollywood system they are, and what they're getting themselves
into. Let's go to that clip from the interview. Our beloved leader is wise. Sounds like a kid singing for about Obama.
Yeah. So she's saying, the one thing we wish for is for the United States to explode in a
ball of hellfire. That's actually what they say.
Starve and beg and be ravaged by disease.
May they be helpless, poor, sad, and cold. They're arrogant and fat. They're stupid and they're evil. Well, our leader, like your leader, may they drown on their own. Die, America, die.
Oh, please, won't you die? It would fill my tiny little heart with joy. May your women all be raped by beasts of the jungle while your children are forced to watch. And then they set off a missile.
This is pretty accurate so far.
Yeah.
We now turn to the hostile nation of North Korea.
Except their missile would blow up.
Although Kim Jong-un rallies his
now
people
getting
with
the
cries
message
for the
here
destruction
to,
of the United States of America,
James Franco is playing
an avid consumer
leading,
of American entertainment. His favorite shows
reporter, entertainer,
are The Big Bang Theory,
interviewer. And Kim Jong-un is a huge fan of his,
tonight.
Just like he was with Dennis Rodman. So he's going to have him come there and do the interview. Now they're in rural China.
Mr. Rappaport. I am Suk Yong Park. The Supreme Leader will grant a one-hour interview to Mr. Skylark from inside North Korea. All questions will be supplied by the Supreme Leader himself. Times are non-negotiable. You have 24 hours to decide.
That's it?
Yes.
Why didn't you guys tell me this over the phone? Or Skype? Do you guys have Skype? Do you have Skype here?
You too. Lucky gentleman.
Notice the internet doesn't even work over there, but they hacked us.
Yeah, that's the big joke. The internet doesn't work.
Part of the reason
they have like 12 computers.
The CIA would love it if you two could take him out.
Now, this is all about how the CIA is cute.
Well, now the CIA is coming in through the back
with a hot chick.
Take him out. Right.
Like for drinks?
No. Take him out.
Take out. Like to dinner?
Take him out to a meal?
Take him out.
She can't say it exactly.
Party?
No.
Wants them to say it.
Take him out.
Assassinate.
You want us to assassinate the leader of North Korea?
Yes.
What? As if the CIA wants to actually get rid of him. I mean, they love it.
Right. And they're all working together, you know, through Kissinger, basically, is behind the scenes.
Through China.
Little puppet master back there. So now we move on to the meeting of Mr. Skylark and Kim Jong-un and what leads up to that. So let's go ahead and roll that, and we'll...
And, of course, this makes Kim Jong-un look like he's actually kind of tough and stuff. When he's a total piece of garbage and can't even hardly walk, he's such a sack of bullying, scum-filled evil. Let's go ahead and go to that.
So they're in Pyongyang.
Hello, North Korea!
North Korean people are welcoming them, even though they hate them. Now he's bringing up the fact that
absolutely everyone here is the people starving to death.
North Korea. Let's hear that.
It's quite all right. This is a common misconception.
Oh, okay.
See for yourself.
Look at that fat kid. Hi, little fatty.
Hi.
We have many fat children in North Korea. The Supreme Leader believes it is a hallmark of a prosperity and a self-sufficiency.
I don't know. Dave Skylark. It's crazy. Oh, I have a gift for you.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, this is me.
This is you.
Oh, that's great. I always wanted one of these. A bust.
Dave Skylark.
Hey, thank you.
He loves
so you really like the show.
No, I might not show it, but I'm freaking out.
You're like a super fan.
I really am.
Yeah.
Hey, you want to see something cool?
Yeah.
So now he goes and parties with Kim Jong-un. Just like Kim Jong's father, who was, they had a special sauna set up so they could get over their hangovers from the partying all night long.
Stallone?
He had a seven-story pleasure palace, and they would kidnap Asian film stars and bring them there to him. Here, let's go back to the film.
Oh, you know, my wife must have put that in there because I've never heard this before in my life.
I love Katy Perry.
Baby, you're a fire.
And again, we're analyzing this propaganda put out on the internet, flooding the internet right now as they capitalize on the American people.
I listen to this all the time.
Really?
I love her.
You know why I really like her? Because she has such a strong message for young women and girls across the planet. It's so empowering.
Yeah.
You know, Dave, sometimes I feel like a plastic bag.
This is really sick how it's humanizing Kim Jong-un.
It's softening him for the masses in the United States. It's making a dictator a guy that kills people that are very close to him.
This movie really is filthy. What was it like for you to watch the whole thing?
Well, it makes me sick to know that the American media is pushing yet again more evil onto our citizens, our children. Turning a dictator into somebody that could actually be humanized. You know, you have these scenes where now they're getting together. They're getting to know one another, and Mr. Skylark is seeing his side of things.
Dying wish.
You know, let's hear the scum.
His torch.
Oh, that's the end of that one. But
yeah, let's go to the final clip here. This is Kim Jong-un dies as we analyze this state-run media propaganda that the president is involved in, this false flag run by Sony. Here it is. They take him out is with a tank shooting him.
Yeah. Yeah, he was about to nuke us as if he could. And Skylark has discovered that he has not been feeding his people. He's asked him in the interview, and he made a fool of himself in the interview in front of his people, Kim Jong-un. So they're calling it a revolution. They come back. They're the heroes of democracy. And yet it's a giant CIA psyop to the American.
Well, you've seen the whole film. I mean, does it glorify freedom and private property, or does it glorify government welfare, feed your people?
It really, there's a lot of subconscious layers, but what it really glorifies and quintessentially goes after is softening the mind and perception of the American people, of the rest of the world, for dictatorship. You know, as we have Cuba and now and North Korea, we're putting these dictators on a pedestal, and we're probably the next movie to come out will be about, you know, the dictatorship of Cuba. So,
well, you know, Kim Jong-un, who is obsessed with Hollywood, must love this big controversy in a movie about him.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure he loves this movie. Yeah. I'm sure he really enjoys this movie, even though it shows him crying, whatnot. But, you know, it does humanize him.
But then in the background, the whole thing's a scam for a dud of a movie to get a bunch of hype-driven people to go out and watch it and to get the right wing to go out and watch it, saying it's their patriotic duty to watch it so that they won't put up with censorship. They're now agreeing with Obama, who came out to defend the First Amendment when he normally attacks it.
It's your patriotic duty not to watch it.
All right, folks, there's some clips of this for the purpose of review and analysis of this fraud on the people. We'll be back with some final calls. Thank you, John Bowne. I'm Alex Jones. your name out your window. I'm leaving. I won't even turn my head.
Don't call my name out your window when I'm leaving. I won't even turn my head.
Don't send your kinfolks.
Don't send your kinfolks to give me no talking.
I'll be gone.
I'll be gone, like I said.
Yeah.
You'd say the same old thing that you've been saying all along.
Lay there in your bed. Keep your mouth shut till I'm gone.
Don't give me.
We'll be back this Sunday, 4 to 6 p.m. Central. Live. 7 o'clock tonight, InfoWars Nightly News. PrisonPlanet.tv. George in Connecticut, thank you for holding, sir. You're on the air worldwide.
Hi, Alex. I just spoke to my wife, who's presently in Russia, 2 days ago, and the prices of bread and cookies, the only thing she looked on the shelves and she was shocked, went up 2 to 3 times. And the same thing is happening in Belarus, same thing is happening in Ukraine. These people won't even be able to afford bread. They won't be afford medicine. The kids won't have enough to eat. They won't have enough money to pay for the fuel. If they have a fuel charge or something like that.
Russia is being put into a total depression. George Soros publicly brags about it, the guy that wants our guns, and they're going to do it to us after they're done with Russia. It's sick.
You're right on track. That's exactly what I was going to say. They're basically being the prototype to see if we're going to do something about it. And this nation better start repenting. And I mean really repenting in a religious way. Otherwise, it's coming upon us, too. Gloating over this won't help. But I think we should all go to the stores where they have the discount cards for Christmas and send Mr. Soros a nice card saying, we know what you're doing. We appreciate that that you, if you keep doing this, we know where you live. And he lives at 136 Cantito, Cantitoe Street at Katona, New York, zip 10536.
Well, listen, here's the deal. I don't want to get into the whole thing with George Soros. He bragged that he was behind the Ukraine thing. He's just completely out of his mind. Nazi collaborator, gets away with it. But he's only one big problem in all of this. But I just pray for peace, and the globalists are waging war against all of our nations. It's evil. Thank you, George. Let's go ahead and take another call here. Dan in Arizona, you're on the air. Welcome.
Hey there. Hey, I hope you guys all had a good Christmas. And
hope you did as well, brother.
So, wanted to tell you right off the bat, I've listened to you for, I think, 8 or 9 years. I love you, buddy. You've definitely changed my life since I started listening to you. Gotta say, though, you'd mentioned earlier with that Vatican call about doing an episode on them and all the other groups. I definitely think you should do it. That would be a great idea because I don't like how the answer was or how the question was answered. I think it needs to be looked at a little bit more. We know they have something.
Well, look, I know it'll get ratings to sit there and talk about the Masons and this and that, and it's just I'm trying to promote basic private property, freedom, the right to self-defense, sovereignty, so much the liberty movement, because it gets listeners up front, but over time everybody tunes out and it doesn't help anybody, just blaming groups all day. Obviously, the Vatican's fascinating, and I threw out everything on the Vatican. I got another caller that wants to talk about it, about the Vatican involved in the EU, behind that, the Vatican involved with the open borders. I mean, how did you not like the way I answered it?
I think just when it gets brought up, let's kind of look at it like when we talk about Obama. His name gets thrown into this show every single day, but we all know he's not the guy at the top. He's a player in it, but we know he's not the one making these decisions for the most part, but we still throw his name out there every time. It's just like the Vatican. They're not the be-all, end-all, but they do play a role, and I think it should be looked at more.
Sure. I mean, I think the Vatican's power has declined, actually, and I think that's why you see the media attacking it all the time. Doesn't mean it's good, you know, overall good, though. Hold on. I got to go to another Vatican question, so I got to let you go. Overdrive coming up. See you this Sunday, 4 to 6 p.m. Great job to the crew.
Genesis Communications Radio Network.
Christmas from George Strait. Christmas is 364 days away.
I won't miss you.
And I won't ever take you back.
I won't ever take you back.
Girl, your memory.
Girl,
I know what I'm going to be listening to when I drive home today.
Won't ever haunt me.
George Strait.
Cause I don't love you.
Now if you'll buy that. Maybe George Strait secretly runs it all. Let's just get the next Vatican call out of the way. Robert in Missouri, real quick, because I want to jam in D and a few others. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Hey, Alex. I just wanted to say this about that. Every institution that you look at, whether it's the U.S. government, the throne of Britain, the Vatican, they're all occupied by the same evil forces. And so, you know, you can fixate on one, but then you're going to miss out on the other six that you're not looking at. If you get too fixated on the Vatican, which is totally went downward as far as its doctrines and everything else, then you're going to miss the basically the Jewish wing of the mafia, the Freemasonic, the OTO, the Queen of Britain. These sickos over on that throne in Britain, my gosh, they go around and
disappear
children.
Exactly. Just because there's evil sickos over England doesn't mean that British themselves are bad people. Just because there's a Jewish mafia that basically goes around and gets protection money from all the, you know, major successful Jews doesn't mean Jews are bad. Just because the Catholic Church is New World Order, you know, at the top doesn't mean Catholics are bad people. We need to fight corruption and systems of evil, like your kids belong to the state or we're going to get your guns, instead of fighting all day about who the biggest head on the Hydra is.
Yeah, well, the whole thing is it's one big massive thing that infects every institution it can get its hands on. Jesus said the devil's kingdom is not divided against itself. They have skirmishes in between each other, but the thing is, they're all divided. I mean, they're all united at this one agenda, which is, why do you think Cuba is going to get normalized its relations with the United States? Guess what? Because they're going to get absorbed into this North American Union.
That's right.
People.
They're now ready to line it all up. They tried to take over using communism. That didn't work, so now they're using this globalism. Great call, Robert. That's exactly where I'm at. I mean, it's just cheap and easy to say Masons, Jews, Vatican, you know, other groups. It's just so simple. There's an Illuminati formula that is being used to take over everything. And these things have been taken over. You can't debate it. D in Texas, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm a longtime listener, and I just had a couple points to make. Like, I have to agree with you. People focusing on these groups, it's irrelevant. These power groups are irrelevant. They have to be stopped either way.
Their agenda has to be stopped. We have to stop the globalist New World Order, foreign mega banks creating their own governmental systems that circumvent our government. I mean, that checkmates them right there.
Exactly. And, like, focusing on them is exactly what they want. They want us to think that they're all splinter factions, but they're not. And, you know, I just wanted to mention the so-called Sony hacks and how convenient it is that all of a sudden both, you know, Microsoft and PlayStation Network went down right after they supposedly got hacked. And now they're introducing these internet censorship bills and whatnot. It's just way too convenient. And all the people that think that this is, you know, some sort of shadowy group, I think the wool has been pulled over.
Exactly. Great call. It's targeting people that aren't paying attention. They're rolling out the internet censorship next month, just a few days from now. It's on. Johnny, a Kentucky pastor, you got about 50 seconds here, or tail gunner. Go ahead.
Yes, Alex. I agree with George and your last caller. We need to repent. We've got to defeat these guys, because if we don't, God has showed me and many other visions that martial law, cities burning, Christians' heads being chopped off here, is coming here. We think that it can't happen now. I'm also a musician, and I teach my congregation what's coming, and I push it out of my music. And it's very dire that we get this through. We've got to stop these guys. They're evil. They're satanic. And music, movies, radio.
We've all got to put info out. Sorry to Corey and Dom and others. Lord willing, I'll be back this Sunday, 4 to 6 p.m. God bless you all. Now get out there and take on the New World Order.